Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, the 19th day of June 2012. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Coming up in the next hour, investigative journalist, best-selling author Daniel Estulin will be joining us. You know, Daniel Estulin got invited after he wrote a book on Bilderberg to Cuba to talk to Fidel Castro a few years ago, and I was so hyped up whenever I was running around like a piranha, a land piranha at the Bilderberg meeting, foaming at the mouth, covering things, that when I had him on the show, he was in Spain, I was in Virginia, walking along the street protesting. You got to love technology while I interviewed him. But I never brought that up. But that's not why he's joining us. That just popped in my head as I was about to tell you that he was coming up in the second hour. Daniel's never contacted us to come on. We always contact him to come on. But he contacted us because he's got such big news he wants to break here on Bilderberg. So Daniel Estulin from Spain, a guy in Europe more than anybody who's exposed Bilderberg. It's Jim Tucker and myself now here in the United States. And, of course, Matt Drudge of DrudgeReport.com has really helped break that dam completely down. But he's got sources inside Bilderberg. In fact, one of his sources, just separately, he probably doesn't even know I know this. I discovered who one of his sources is. But I'll just leave it at that. Just very, very interesting. That is coming up in the second hour. I've got a huge amount of very important news. The good news is, down in Rio, where they've started the big UN World Government Conference, women in mass are protesting the green economy and austerity, saying it will destroy their country. So all over South America, in Argentina and Brazil and other areas, people are really getting it down there. In fact, my radio show is extremely popular down there. I know routinely, because I see copies of it online and I mailed copies of it. I love Latin America. They don't ask. They just take Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com articles. Plus, it's well known that I authorize that. I want my info out. I want it to be republished. As long as you don't alter it. That's what I reserve copyright on. And they publish our articles in Latin America is the point. And they know what's going on. And they're like, no, thank you. We're suing Monsanto over their GMO crops. We're suing over pesticide. We're suing over real issues. We don't want to have our carbon dioxide output taxed. Thank you very much. We've got Mark Moreno is tomorrow from that event of ClimateDepot.com. And then we've got Lord Monckton on Friday. If he hasn't been beaten up or arrested, as has happened repeatedly, he's been blocked out of the conferences. He was in South Africa late last year and had to parachute in to the controlled area, kind of like G20. They locked down a large area of Durban. He parachuted in. And then they backed off at that point, because they realized that arresting him would be a big issue. He's just something else. You got to love him. What a character. So that is coming up here on the broadcast. Speaking of Drudge Report, this story is up at DrudgeReport.com. We covered it yesterday, but it dovetails with another article out of Business Insider. Leaked Microsoft master plan to take over the living room with a new Xbox. Well, that's always been their plan. And their Kinect system on record spies on you in your home. But that integrates in with Apple's iOS 6, includes government alerts, forced government alerts. You're talking to your son or daughter, your wife, your husband, it cuts you off. You're an emergency phone call, a business phone call. Everyone will get the Supreme Leader's break in, and then it'll be phased in to be local police as well. So anything you see in a science fiction dystopia movie or novel, the globalists are adopting it, saying that's a good idea. By the way, they're back promoting taser bracelets for all who fly. Put the taser bracelet on the 3-year-old now, after the groping by the pedo. We'll be back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Incredibly important worldwide transmission lined up for you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up from Spain, Daniel Estlin, investigative journalist, has big breaking news. So big, he actually contacted our office, something he's never done, wanting to get on the show. We've normally got to twist his arm on to coming on because he likes to write instead of really doing interviews. But he's got big breaking Bilderberg news for us dealing with the globalist and some of their plans. And I do know for a fact he has multiple Bilderberg sources because separately through my Hollywood connections, I was able to discover who one of them is. I'll just leave it at that. Also, Larry Summers has come out and talked about a total catastrophe globally. Well, sure, the globalists are engineering that, but they want to milk each country bailout after bailout, always promising that this bailout will fix the global economy, whether it's in Ireland or Greece or Spain or Italy or the United States or England. They're not bailouts. They're direct taxes to the six megabanks that issue the currency and credit of the world. G20 summit, Barroso blames Eurozone crisis on U.S. banks and on the American people and demands a stronger euro. And that's always been the plan. They're going to collapse the old euro and bring the people into the new dictatorial one. And that's their own words. I mean, this is out in the open. Look, I can't stand Barack Obama. We're going to be exposing him. He needs to be politically destroyed and not just sail off into the sunset. He needs to be punished. That said, it's clear the political winds are turning against Mr. Obama. Politico reports Kissinger headlines Romney event. Of course, he also headlined 4 years ago a Sarah Palin event. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But you add it together with this. At the party, Bloomberg tips hand on endorsement, New York Times. Oh, yes, it's a leak. No, it's on purpose, obviously, saying that he thinks Mitt Romney is better. Not a good sign when Bloomberg likes you, a guy that wants to ban civilian ownership of firearms. A guy, by the way, other states I saw in the news today are following suit, and other cities as well, to ban soft drinks, popcorn, milk products. I mean, government literally in your bathroom, in your toilet, telling you which size toilet you can have, in your light bulbs, in your computer, watching, listening to you, Google driving around with tech snorkels sticking up, stealing passcodes and downloading everyone's info. I mean, it's beyond 1984, and they're just getting started. But see, what's happening here is there's two parallels, because there's been so much liberty and freedom in this country in our history. And I'm going to talk about this more later today. It's so important that there's good running in parallel to evil. There's different train tracks. And so we still exercise the First Amendment. We still have the Second Amendment. We still have property rights to a certain extent. We still have parental rights. And there is a battle over every millimeter with the power structure, with the TSA and its federal power grab and its attempt to break us and now rolling out on the streets. And drones and wars and checkpoints and all the new taxes and regulations and surveillance and prisons and government shipping drugs in with major corporations to destabilize the country and corrupt police. Our country's like a nervous system. Forget the government, but the people, the culture. And it's under constant bombardment, just as we are individually with propaganda, with chemicals, biologicals, radiologicals, the GMO, the aspartame, the additives. The globalist favorite saying is, as above, so below. What you see writ large on the universe is also writ tiny in the very makeup of matter. And so everything you see on the mass scale is going on the tiny scale against you and your family. We're going to be breaking that down. So it's a struggle. They don't have world government yet. They're in control of the money, in control of most of the governments, but there's still too much free human activity going on. And they can't move out in the open against the Second Amendment, at least until now, because people have refused to budge and understand what it's all about. They're losing their fight pushing abortion worldwide. They're losing their fight worldwide on vaccinating. People are learning about that. They're losing their fight pushing GMO. They're losing their fight, but They're losing it intellectually and in the court of public opinion. Congress with a 9% approval rating. Some of the parliaments of Europe have even lower than 9%. But the system, we're in a paradox. Best of times, worst of times, because the system is still just going full tilt against us. It's still just rolling out its attack, even though we're awake. Now, we've got some big activism first, and I'm going to explain why we're doing this in more detail after the break. But taking us into the break, this article and video is posted right now, red-linked, at the top of Infowars.com and featured news. Explosive activism. Stop Obama dictator contest. And the point is, his office is being turned into an executive dictatorship. So I'm calling for everyone to take action with this contest. And if everyone does it, I'm going to do it myself today or tomorrow. I've just got so much to do, but I'm going to get done today or tomorrow. I'm going to go out and hang these posters up all over Austin. If our listeners, if everyone listening hangs up at least a few of these in legal and lawful commons areas or hands out a bunch, it is going to have a huge response. I'll explain why coming up, but here is the video and audio for radio and TV viewers. It's titled Stop Obama Dictator Contest. Here it is. America is starting to wake up to the fact that Barack Obama is becoming a dictator. You know about him launching wars in Libya, Syria, and other areas. And when Congress comes to him and says, you've got to get authorization from us under the law, under the Constitution, he says, no, I don't, because I have the UN and NATO. That is treason. Obama has been having the ATF put in new anti-gun regulations outside of law. Now the ATF's talking about banning most shotguns with a new regulation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to stand up to Barack Obama and let him know, and let the prostitute, accomplice, collaborator media know that America is waking up and will not put up with this type of executive abuse. The latest outrage? Obama came out last Friday and he said, I'm going to legalize 80,000 illegal aliens to begin with because I can't get Congress to pass the law. Just a few years before that, he said that he'd like to act like a dictator, but that he couldn't because of the Constitution.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own. Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting.
Now he's saying he can do this if he wants to. This is treason. It is important to create a grassroots campaign to say no to this. So we're doing something new. Two new contests. $5,000 prize for whoever creates Barack Obama flyer posters and posts them in legal and lawful areas. Check your local laws. Videotapes it, uploads it to YouTube so it can go viral. You've only got 4.5 days. Midnight this Friday. Print off the flyers at Infowars.com or create your own poster. Post them in legal, lawful areas. Shoot video of it, upload it to YouTube, send it to contest@Infowars.com, and we're going to announce the winner next Monday. You're not going to have to wait very long on this contest. And then 2 weeks after that, 3 Fridays from now, we're going to have part two of the contest. And if you win part one, you can still be in part two. $10,000 prize. Now, what we're going to do is take these videos and post them so that other people will see the example and go out and post more. We did this a few years ago with the Joker contest, Obama as a Joker, and the media took our bait. They said, how dare you show our gracious Fuhrer as a Joker? This should be illegal.
It is a poster showing the president made up like the Joker, and as West 2's Amanda Ober reports, whoever is responsible may face criminal charges.
That you shouldn't be able to criticize Obama. It was in hundreds of newspapers, more than 20, 30, 40, 50, I lost count, TV stations from Japan to Ireland to the United States. This is going to be even bigger because these authoritarian pigs of the New World Order are going to try to say it's wrong to show Obama as a dictator. In fact, some of the posters we're making say, murdering dictator, his face, Infowars.com. Or scumbag dictator, Obama's face, Infowars.com. Our forebears in the 10 years leading up to the revolution in 1776 did the same thing. They decried King George III. They decried the corrupt system and were basically politically demonized for it. We have to identify that Obama is becoming a dictator because the powers that the executive is grabbing will just be passed on to the next president unless we decry them now. The traitorous Congress has been told they're slaves of the executive and have gone along with it. So it's important to let that scum know that we're aware of them. Follow the link below me to the contest rules. It's very, very easy. This country is in deep trouble, and we the people will call out this criminal who is saying he'll arrest us under the NDAA, he'll kill us, he'll shut down the internet, he'll hijack our smartphones and take it over with his propaganda messages, that he'll launch wars without congressional approval, that he'll do whatever he wants. Enough is enough. Let the maggot Barack Obama and all of his criminal mafia that work for him, that staged Fast and Furious and so many other crimes, know that you're awake to them. Last time the Obama Joker poster went super viral. This time it's going to go even bigger. Last time it was only $1,000 in prizes. This is $15,000. Part one and part two of the contest. This is your chance to strike a blow against tyranny and exercise your First Amendment and to have a chance to win up to $15,000. It's all posted at InfoWars.com and at the link below. I leave you with the words of Thomas Jefferson. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. It's time that would-be dictators know the sleeping giant that is America and free humanity is awakening. It's Stop Dictator Obama Contest at InfoWars.com. Control freak tyrants are going to hate this. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, we've got an exclusive here. World War II veteran, highly decorated, liberated a prisoner of war camp by parachuting in to a Japanese prisoner of war camp holding U.S. soldiers. I mean, we're talking about the stuff movies are made of. He's bankrupt. He's a World War II vet. They're taking his little piece of property in his house and making him dig up his dead wife. You cannot make this up. And remember, this is the age where megabanks take houses that aren't even theirs, that they don't even have deeds to, that are actually paid for and were paid for in cash. This is the criminality. The sheriff is refusing to be part of it, so the feds are getting ready to come after him. We're going to try to draw some attention to this, thanks to Oath Keepers with Stuart Rhodes. We have some clips of an interview he did with a gentleman. Amazing, a prisoner of war story as well. I want to try to, we can get the number from Stuart. Actually, when you talk to Stuart, he's agreed to come on. Get the vet's number so we can probably try to get him on as well, or if not, in a part two interview. Get that from Stuart. Thank you. But we have that video now up at InfoWars.com of that powerful 25-minute interview. But we'll be talking to Stuart coming up in the last 30 minutes of the third hour. Again, Daniel Esselm with breaking news is coming up. In fact, in the next segment, I'm going to go through a bunch of news. Holder agrees to meet with Issa. How gracious of him. Syria, Iran, Russia, and China plan joint war games. Iranian news agency reports. We told you last week the Russian were sending Marines and ships. Then the media said it wasn't true. Now Russia confirms it's true. McCain urges U.S.-led war in Syria. That's raw story. He wants boots on the ground. Big developments in Europe. The design implosion accelerates. Avoid a global catastrophe. Larry Summers has written an article in the Washington Post saying give the bankers total control. And just each time they get trillions more, give us more power, make us above the law, make our carbon trading diplomatic immune worldwide, just give us total power and we'll turn the economy back on. Are they doing that? The answer is no. I've also got a very important stack of technology news that we're going to be breaking down, but let me just stop there. I put up this video, I shot the video yesterday afternoon, Aaron edited it, had it up by yesterday evening at InfoWars.com. And I right away noticed Obama supporters, not web bots, not fake Department of Justice or defense bots. We can tell how those operate by watching them for years. And the Pentagon admits they have those. But actual Obama supporters, because I would go look at their comment, look at their channel last night and this morning, and they've been posting for years. Many of them are accomplished people. It's their official channels. And they're basically engaged in veiled threats that, oh, you'll get your butt kicked if you post a poster bad of Obama. And, oh, you know, you're not allowed to do that. Or, oh, you're going to get arrested. Well, not if it's in legal or lawful areas. And again, if they try to selectively enforce a law or claim a law doesn't exist, if they've been hanging garage sale stuff on telephone poles for 20 years and nobody ever got a ticket for it, well, then that's up to your discretion at your own risk. But I'm going to be out hanging them up in commons areas. I've checked the local laws, and if it's in a, you know, commons area, nobody gets tickets for that. So I'm going to go do it today or tomorrow. I'm going to hang up a bunch of Obama dictator posters. In fact, I need to go ahead and give the order to somebody in my tiny crew. I'm like giving orders to people that don't exist. We need to go ahead and get a bunch of these PDFs and get a bunch of these printed, but I want to send them to a print shop and get some double size, you know, double what a regular page printout is, and then a few hundred smaller ones that I'm going to go out my shelf and hang up and staple up or tape up tomorrow, probably tomorrow. At the latest, I'll do it Thursday. But the point is, we're doing this contest for a reason. We're doing this to show the power of the people. If they try to shut the web down with a fake cyber attack, that could happen. You know, if the globalists do a false flag, they've talked about doing it. They admit Obama has a kill switch, or maybe Romney down the road. People need to know the power of going out and hanging up provocative posters, like V for Victory the French did against the Nazis, or what our forebears did during the 1776 adventure and leading up to it. And it's meant to be provocative. Obama is launching wars that are illegal. He is killing whole families with drones. He is a murderer. And I know he's a puppet, but if I go hang up Henry Kissinger's image or David Rockefeller or somebody, it won't get any media attention. You got to go after their puppet. And we did this 3 years ago with the Obama poster, because another person hung up some Obama posters and they tried to arrest him. So I said, that's it. We're going all the way. And it was huge. And they tried to come at people there. But they would call police and say, arrest this person, arrest that. They couldn't, because it's free speech. As long as you don't put it on somebody's private property or don't put it on federal stuff, you know, like, what do you call them, post office boxes. Put it in the big commons area, legal lawful areas, the side of your barn, whatever. But I'm going to finish up with this when we come back. Folks trying to intimidate us. Straight ahead and then the news.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
I want to just say one little note here real fast before I forget to make it, because I've been thinking about the last few days. I know why Rand Paul endorsed Mitt Romney. I understand the political decision, and I think Rand Paul's a great guy. Show is Ron Paul, but he's not Ron Paul. I mean, that's true what Lou Rockwell and others have said, but I understand the need and the desire to want to make things better and to project onto someone like Mitt Romney that well, maybe they're better than Obama because they were nice to me and because they sat in a room with me and said they agreed with me that abortion's bad and agreed that the Second Amendment's good. The problem is Mitt Romney has always been against those things. But maybe because he is a Republican, I see the argument that he won't be able to go against those type of issues because of his constituents won't let him. I still think that's an overall naive view. But I was hurt at first and angry at Ron Paul, because now they've had campaign people come out and say in press releases, I saw it last night, that yes, of course, Ron Paul helped coordinate that. So, you know, don't be mad at Rand because Ron's involved. They're now using that. Well, obviously, Ron Paul was involved. And I got mad at people lecturing me saying, oh, Ron Paul didn't know, or Ron Paul's not involved. Give me a break, okay? And I know the Pauls are tired of running against the wind. They're tired of always trying, like salmon, to swim upstream. But that's why Ron Paul's been so successful and stood out, because he never compromised. That's all I'm saying. I get why they did it. I understand it. Look, Obama is so bad. I've described this myself, that I have this thought process that, oh, maybe Mitt Romney is good. But then I'm like, wait a minute, Alex, pinch yourself. You know that this is all part of a globalist operation. I mean, we've got Mayor Bloomberg now endorsing Mitt Romney. And that isn't even saying that Mitt Romney's worse than Obama, because somebody's so bad, like Mr. Tyrant in Chief over New York, Bloomberg is endorsing him. That's happening because the elite are done with Obama. He was never anybody. He was a husk. He was a front man. He was a puppet, just like all these other high-level politicians. And that's what's sad, because the process of compromising turns you into a puppet. So I think it's good that we've let Ron Paul and Rand Paul and their media people know that we're upset, but it shouldn't be something that demoralizes everybody. I've now had a week and a half to think about this. Now, shifting gears, why am I going up against Obama if he is politically like garbage that's to be taken out of the curb? Because he's not gone yet. He could stage a terror attack, as a lot of his top advisors have been telling him to do. Even though he's a puppet, there are different factions of the power structure that are in the Democrat and Republican parties. They may want to hold on to power like Clinton before the election in Oklahoma City. And they've got all those fundraising letters and statements in the Financial Times of London by Shapiro and others about an Oklahoma City or 9/11 would really help us win the election. And so some of their underlings or some of the minions of the system could do anything. A fake assassination attempt, that would give him probably 15 points right through the election, probably 30 or 40 at first for a week or so. You know, a sympathy vote of people just getting into the hype. But 15 up to the election, say if it happened next week, God forbid. He could do anything. They could start a new war in Syria that a lot of them are pushing. I mean, a hot war, boots on the ground, as they're calling for all over the news. Remember, 6 months ago, I said they want boots on the ground. Oh, conspiracy theory, fearmonger, it's not going to happen. Now it's happening. And they're using Al-Qaeda to start the war. It's incredible. Who could make that something that crazy up? Give all your rights up, because Al-Qaeda's hiding under your toilet, but don't worry, the toilet safety police will grope you to keep you safe. But the globalists that have hijacked our country using Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria, I know I'm digressing. He could do anything. And again, people are like, well, what's the point? It'll just be Mitt Romney anyways. Well, different factions could escalate things into a crisis instead of a gentle handover of power to the next puppet. So we're in a very dangerous, critical time right now. An extremely, extremely important time at this juncture right now. And our First Amendment's under attack now more than ever. And because the election's heated up, I see threats on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, on the Obama deception. One version's got like almost 11 million views on YouTube. I see threats on there that we're going to get you guys. And then you go to the sites, it's real people, you go to the YouTube pages, who really think it's racist to criticize Obama. And that's because MSNBC and others say if you even show an image of a black person in a newspaper doing something wrong, it's racist. And I've talked about experiencing this myself, catching a white guy paying off two black guys to go give a testimony and pose as gang members to say restrict guns, you know, gangbangers like us are dangerous. I exposed that, and the paper called me up and said, are you racist? And I said, is this a joke? And they said, no. And I thought it was a prank call and said, give me your number. I'll call you back at the Statesman. The guy gave me his number. I called him back, transferred through, got him. And I was like, this is real? And he said, yeah. Would you have done that report if they'd have been white being paid off? And I said, is that a joke? And the guy went to print with that. That's what these people do. Okay, that's what Bill Maher does. You know, the mayor of D.C. says Asians shouldn't be allowed to live there. He puts an image of him up. Or the former mayor. Boom, it's racist. Bill Maher says Drudge is. This is how they operate. And they know full well that people aren't predominantly going after Obama because he's black. You know what? White people are the folks that put Obama in there. Put him over the top with a big win. white people hoped this would bring racial reconciliation. A lot of conservatives who are kind of mainline voted for him just to try to create friendliness. Didn't work because the system never wanted that. It's about driving a wedge. That's why they want unlimited illegal aliens here to be put on welfare and be clients of the government who can then be legalized with all these motor voter things. I mean, I saw an article today where dogs are getting registered and able to vote. And they can then, I mean, that's the old trick of the book. Bring in foreigners who will go along with the corrupt bankers that have hijacked the country to sell the nation out. This is treason that we're talking about here. And I don't just use those words lightly. So before I get into the news, banning of gardens, you name it, this is the type of comments. There's a whole bunch of them on the video that's at Infowars.com titled Stop Obama Dictator Contest, linked in red. Please email the video out to everybody, even if you're not going to take. And again, the contest just makes it fun. The $5,000 prize that I'll announce next Monday. I'm putting myself on a time frame here where it's going to move quick. I'll announce it Monday night on the Nightly News. We're on hiatus this week while we get some new people hired and finish up a few things. I've just bitten off so much I can't even complete half the stuff I got in the pike to be completed. So I'm doing another pit stop, and then we're going to relaunch the Nightly News, sit, you know, five nights a week next Monday, and I'll announce the winner then of the $5,000 prize. But that just makes it fun. Everybody wins by exercising the First Amendment. And I see the comments on the video in there, on YouTube itself, and it's, ha, 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 Alex Jones is trying to get you killed in a big way. See, that's the message. Why don't you, Alex, lead your pack of followers and be the first to make up a poster and post them everywhere? Well, we did that. We did that 3 years ago. We were the first to go out and hang them up. I mean, I go out in public all the time. I mean, local talk show hosts have bodyguards. I just went right out to Bilderberg with no bodyguard for 4 days with plainclothes Marines trying to set us up with bomb threats. I mean, I'm not up here saying I'm a tough guy, but, you know, I always love these absolute cowards on the internet trying to imply. And there's some actual threats in here by some of these guys. You know, these people trying to act like, A, I'm a coward, B, we're all cowards, and C, we better watch our back. That's the reason we're doing this, Jack. And I went to the guy's website. He's a somewhat successful black rapper that said this. And he goes on to say, including on your front lawn. Oh, the implication is I'll get it. And let's see how it fares out. Well, I would really hate anybody that did something at my house. That would not be advised when I'm there. That would not be a healthy move. Number two, if I did live in the city, I would put some in my front yard. I live back in the woods, you see, with the woman and the kids and the dogs in me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a 50 cal, and more, and still more. And cameras everywhere, and still more. And not just the little French bulldogs you see on video. No, those aren't the only dogs. So I'm here trying to understand I'm bad and I better watch it, and I'm gonna get people hurt, not if they're out legally and lawfully hanging up signs. And if somebody did try to do something to that, that's that person's problem, not my problem, that people don't respect free speech in this country. So don't give in to the punks out there that are trying to shoot their mouths off like big men on the internet, but never in person, that you better not dare hang up stuff and defile the great leader. That's why I did this 3 years ago. It was because somebody was hanging these up in Los Angeles, similar to what we had put up, an Obama Joker, and they were talking about arresting him, and the news was saying, oh, it's illegal not to hang stuff up in public commons, but to criticize Obama. Local papers in Central Texas, the Kyle paper, called it hate speech and said, should I be arrested? Because people were hanging him up on telephone poles. Not because it was, they say, illegal to hang him up on telephone poles. Because that's a commons, people have been posting it, then it's common law, you can do it. No, because we were criticizing him. Listen, I'll criticize anybody I want. People are like, on the other hand, they're like, Alex has got to be a Fed. Nobody could hang up posters like this calling Obama a murderer and get away with it if they weren't. Listen, just because you've never done anything in your life, just because you're gripped by fear, don't associate your fear with me, okay? I have committed to this fight. And it's nothing to tell people to go hang up some signs exposing that Obama's becoming a dictator. And the fact that people, A, are threatening us over it and others, and B, saying it's impossible, no one could be this bold, no one could go with several thousand people over 5 days and bullhorn world leaders and heads of state at point-blank range into their vehicles. The reason we have the First Amendment is because we're exercising it. They're trying to get rid of it all over the world, free speech in general, and the First Amendment here. The reason we have the right to film police is because we're exercising it. Do you understand there's a parallel track of liberty on one side and tyranny on the other? And if we don't exercise the liberty muscles, they will atrophy and the tyrants will take over. This is an eternal, continual struggle over every inch of dirt. You know, I think about my grandfather, who always told everybody that he was, my dad's dad, that he was a cook in the Army Air Corps. Until decades after he died back in like 1981. Decades after he was dead, my grandmother had died, and my dad got his, well, my uncle actually got him, but my dad got to look at him. We got to look at him and take some photos of it. My grandfather's Army Air Corps graduation book, and then the letters and medals and stuff like that. And, you know, he only had to do the basic missions over Europe. And on average, yeah, only 22 missions. That's why I say catch 22, but half the time in those missions, they were dying. That's how dangerous it was. Imagine the people that did even more and never wanted to be known about. See, that's why we admire people in the military, is the memory of when our military actually went into situations where half the people died in many cases. Or I think about my uncle. You know, who flew helicopters in Vietnam and got shot up and was, you know, highly decorated. And I know listening to the show right now never wants to talk about it. That's the difference. That's what a warrior is, even if the war is wrong, in the case of Vietnam, is when you're actually facing other men with weapons that can resist you. Not cowardly drones flying around killing whole families so you can say you get one terrorist and then they want to use the drones against us. And then they want to criticize Syria if one child gets killed when the West is funding Al-Qaeda to attack their government and that government's responding. We're supposed to get sad about the one dead girl, but not care about the thousands, well, millions of other dead. This is all being done in our name. And I think about modern Americans who are shocked that I would dare say hang up signs pointing out that Obama is becoming a dictator, launching wars without approval, shutting down power plants, gun control, legalizing illegals. I mean, this is treason. We ought to create a poster that says, Got Treason, with Obama maybe as Mao. We'll do that. I mean, whatever poster you want, just exposing. $5,000 prize this Friday. I'll give it out next Monday. And then two Fridays later, $10,000. Just phase two. You win the first prize, you can win the second prize. Do it now. It's about taking action. And then I think about how people can't believe that I would do something like this because I'm supposed to live in fear. And then I think about World War II veteran being forced out of his home because he's bankrupt and forced to exhume his wife's body. He owns the land outright and the little house. But now when you're bankrupt, they try to take your house. I guess he got tricked into it or something. And he parachuted in on one of many combat missions in the 11th Airborne Division. Prisoners of war at Los Banos internment camp on the island of Luzon in the Philippines. Paratrooper into the prisoner of war camp because as the Japanese were pulling out, being defeated, they were killing all the prisoners of war. Parachuting in against larger numbers. That's what people were like in the past, and now Americans can't believe I would get up here and say Obama's a dictator. Well, I mean, I'm a hero. I've got courage. No, I'm not, and I'm sick of it. The bar has been lowered so much in this country, down to almost nothing. By the way, you know the story about that gentleman who was beaten to death out in California? What was his name? Thomas Kelly. Out in the same area, another schizophrenic person was beaten to death and tortured to death the very same way. And these videos get released, and they aren't even resisting, and the cops just take their time beating your brains out and breaking your ribs and breaking your throat. And I just think about what we've become, What is tough today is being a big fat bully. Is attacking somebody with a drone or attacking somebody when there's 10 cops and some 100-pound schizophrenic person, you know, who thinks you're monsters. And to hear these guys when they cry and beg as they're slowly killed, crying for their mommies and their daddies, and the cops are getting all excited. I mean, wow. Steroids does that to you? Because, I mean, I don't know how somebody normally gets off on that. I mean, yeah, if you're in a fight, somebody attacks you, they're hurting you pretty bad, and you finally get the better of them, and I get being vicious and banging their head in the ground a few times to make sure they don't get back up. That's a satisfying feeling because you won, but they started it. I don't understand wanting to sit there and go brutal on men, women, and children. I don't understand how we became like this as a society. And I'm already digressing. When we come back, all over the country, they're de facto banning gardens. And I told you where it would start. Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We've got joining us at the 8 after break, second segment next hour, Daniel Eston with breaking news. We'll get into the Europe implosion, a lot of geopolitical news with Russian war fleet, sections of fleets moving into the Mediterranean, a lot of big developments on that front. I'm going to get into the attack on true sustainability and just trying to be self-sufficient here in a moment. But first off, I want to tell you about some of the great products that I personally use and that are discounted and available at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWars.com. The Modophyllan is the best. We did a lot of research because I wanted to start taking this myself. The best brown seaweed, and it comes from New Zealand, so there's no radiation in it, from Fukushima. It's the most concentrated out there. I talked to so many experts, and they all said this is the brand. It's discounted with the Free Citizen Rulebook and more at InfoWars.com or InfoWarsShop.com. Just go read all the amazing stuff it does at InfoWarsShop.com. Also, we're carrying the ProPure gravity-fed stainless steel water filtration system. None of the plastic and garbage in it. Blows the competition away. Just look at the side-by-side comparisons. You can get 10% off on all the different units. My favorite is the Traveler that we have in the RV when we travel around the country. I'm getting ready for another trip soon, folks, and a new investigation. The point is we've got the ProPure systems, 10% off with the promo code WATER. Nobody has got it even near that price at InfoWarsShop.com. We also have the best for my research. This is what I personally use. Life Straw, you drink right out of a swamp with this. We have that discounted at InfoWars.com. A new film exposing the dangers of vaccines. If you have friends and family that don't understand that, A, it's not the law, and B, the dangers, the new film, it's award-winning. It's won a whole bunch of major, I don't know, it's won more than 15 film festivals, big ones. It's available, The Greater Good. I'm going to get these folks on next week. This is available at InfoWars.com or InfoWarsShop.com. Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, Jesse Ventura's new book, Democrips and Republicans, None Dare Call a Conspiracy, the book that woke me up, back in print, all available at InfoWarsShop.com. Okay, and your purchases does make the broadcast possible. You can also call 888-253-3139. I'll cover this more in the third hour when I get into all the other news after Daniel Eston leaves us, because it dovetails into banks taking people's property. I thought they had homesteading rules in most states. I don't know how they're taking this, World War II vets, but Stuart Rhodes, who's been out there to interview him, who's on with us, and we do have the vet coming on as well. He's going to be at the VA or driving to the VA when he comes on, World War II vet, World War II hero. Not many of them left. And Stuart's a constitutional lawyer, award-winning. I think he was like top of his class, won the big treatise award. Was it Princeton or Yale? It was Princeton, wasn't it? The point is, he's gone and looked over it. It's true. He's investigated it. And I don't know how they take your property when it's already paid for just because you went bankrupt. But, you know, we saw an article out of England yesterday where they kick people out of the military 22 years in, right as they're about to be able to retire with full benefits. And full benefits was £12,000 a year. How do you live on £12,000 a year? That's like $18,000. In England, folks, England is so expensive. That's like $6,000. I mean, how would you live on $6,000, $7,000 a year? Some of these guys have like, you know, I was also reading, well, they do it here. We have disabled people they're trying to cheat. And again, they claim everything is about the troops. Yeah, soon they'll have the robots and the drones. They won't need you. But here it is, news on 6. Woman sues city of Tulsa for cutting down her edible garden. They said you're not allowed to have it in the front or the back. And it was a very pretty little garden. I've seen the newscast. This is up at Infowars.com. We're linked to it. But woman sues city. And remember 3 years ago, it was the city council tried to pass a law in Tulsa that you have to have an inspection to make sure there's not marijuana. Because, see, you're guilty until proven slave. You don't let prisoners have a garden in America. Well, now they just send code enforcers in, and they chop it down and give you a bill.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Really, three rails in society, but the middle rail is a no man's land of lukewarm foolishness. There is conscience, calculated, organized evil. That's one rail. And there is uncoordinated good in the world. Good is very rarely coordinated. And every good action, every loving action, every strong action, every action of courage, when you don't back down from being lied to, when you're lied to, you confront somebody. When you don't back down from somebody trying to intimidate you, when you don't back down when someone tries to bully you, when you help those that are weak, when you make yourself look deeper into the more complex meanings, when you build up strong things, when you work hard, when you invent things, when you appreciate the world, when you appreciate beauty, when you recognize good from evil and then make the right choice, it makes the world a better place. Not the Illuminati 1,000 points of light, but 7 billion points of light bringing light to the world. People say, that's Illuminati. No, the Illuminati, the globalists take every archetype that's real and good and they expropriate it. They've expropriated our American flag. They've expropriated all of our sacred ideas, everything that's written on our heart. And they have set up their world government. It's not complete yet, though. They have to eradicate the common sense. They have to eradicate the private property, the parental rights, the Second Amendment. They have to eradicate all the major religions that aren't into devil worship because they don't fit in to that larger system of total control where the state and the globalist and the petty hype system is God. The New World Order's greatest crime is attacking the innocents and seeking to dumb down people and keep them from learning true knowledge. It's all a riddle wrapped in an enigma. We've got Daniel Estulin coming up in the next segment with some breaking news. And we're going to look at this report here out of the Washington Post today. Avoiding a Global Catastrophe by Larry Summers. This is the guy that helped get rid of Glass-Steagall, sell derivatives, not just here but worldwide. We're going to get into him. G20 summit, Barroso blames Eurozone crisis on U.S. banks. Well, it's the same banks that run Europe, run the U.S. It's like the left hand is blaming the right hand. In a way, it's true, but it's a spin. We're going to be going over all of that. The big news here, obviously, McCain urges U.S.-led war against Syria. Syria, Iran, Russia, and China plan joint war games. Iran news agency reports. There's also reports out that Putin lectured Obama at the meeting yesterday and that they were both very, very tense. The Weekly Standard is reporting. There's video of that. Looks like Putin got in his face. And again, Putin is a globalist. But he wants his own New World Order. Putin is a KGB guy, FSB guy. But all that's happening is that's one group competing with the other group. The big dominant group that is the most virulent is the group that's hijacked the West. It's not Putin. It's not the Chi-Coms that are putting drones in the skies and cancer viruses in our vaccines. Well, cancer, China, call them cancer. China actually works with the globalists to do a lot of that. They made that deal back in the 70s to carry out eugenics. And we'll get into that with Daniel Esselin as well. He's going to give us some amazing breaking information straight ahead. Best-selling author and researcher Daniel Esselin is scheduled straight ahead. And we'll even have some time to take some calls for our guest as well. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen, and broadcasting worldwide, blasting out on XM 166, over 100 AM and FM affiliates, simulcast at prisonplanet.tv with video feeds and on the audio streams at infowars.com. Joining us for the full hour is Daniel Esselin. He is a best-selling author, researcher who lives in Spain. His true story of the Bilderberg Group is an international bestseller. I forget how many countries it's been published in, and it's also available on a Trine Day right here in the United States. Daniel Esselin, Estulin.com. DanielEsselin.com is his excellent website. Now, Daniel is a hard guy to get on. He's very busy. There's a lot of interviews in Europe, you know, the national TV shows of all the big countries. He can't travel a lot because they try to block him flying to the U.S. They wouldn't let him in last time to be on Ventura's TV show. He had to come a week later. Ventura confirmed that it happened. He's had death threats, you name it. I've never had him contact us and say, hey, I want to come on, I got breaking news. So it must be big. If Daniel Esselin is wanting to talk to people in North America, we're also listened to, obviously, around the world. And I'm just now discovering during the break when we got him on what it's about. And it's the latest from Bilderberg, because you always learn a few weeks later after the meeting is when you get the really good leaks. And it ties into exactly what he predicted 2-3 weeks ago during it with his initial sources. So this is a bird's eye view into the globalist. But we have Larry Summers, who helped engineer so much of this, you know, the head guy for Clinton, openly saying that we could have a total collapse now if you don't give total power to the banksters. That's in an article titled Avoiding the Global Catastrophe. We've got Syria, Iran, Russia, and China planning joint war games. Iran news agency reports, McCain says, prepare for boots on the ground. They're calling for war in Syria. The West is using Al-Qaeda in Libya to take over, and now Syria, and admitting it. I know Bilderberg last year was upset from our sources that it was even in the LA Times that, yes, the West uses Al-Qaeda because that messes up their system of using them to take our liberties, the imaginary or semi-imaginary threat. So joining us to break all this down is Daniel Esselin, joining us from Spain. You're in Spain right now, correct, Daniel?
I'm in Madrid right now, but I'm not sure how long I'm going to be actually in Madrid or Spain, because Spain is going to hell in a handbasket fast. And it's actually, you can see the systemic collapse in Spain over the past 6 months. It's been tremendous, because, Alex, I live here. I can tell you what I've been witnessing over the past 6 months. It is difficult to fathom for anyone who's been living in the Western world. It's like pre-war, pre-bellic situation where people know things are wrong, where you have crime literally increasing twofold, you know, month-wise. It's just tremendous how much Spain has changed over the past 6 months. So again, I'm here now, but I have no idea how long am I going to be here for, because again, things are not looking up. I wanted to start, because again, this is important information, with the elections in Greece, which just again, Greece obviously was on the agenda at Bilderberg this year. But you know, regardless of what we're seeing in the mainstream press, regardless of consequences, the European Union, the largest economy in the world, is now suffering under the weight of two, not one, but two traumatic crises striking simultaneously. And these two crises striking simultaneously literally mean doom for the United States and for the world, for the Western world. Trauma, number one, Europe's governments are in big trouble. Debt is out of control. Tax revenues are plunging, and interest costs are surging. And these obviously the things that Bilderbergers were very, very concerned about, the elections in Greece, have not changed that at all. And the second big situation, traumatic crisis right now, is that Europe's banks are under siege, drowning in massive losses, swamped with withdrawals, and lining up for bailout money that no government can afford. And again, some people seem to think that the European Union's sovereign debt problems are limited to just a few countries such as Spain or Portugal or Ireland, for example, but it's actually not the case. It's systemic. It's across the entire continent, and no wonder the Bilderbergs were very, very concerned about the repercussions of that, not only in the world economy, but obviously the American Bilderbergers were concerned what will happen in the United States, especially with elections coming up in a few months. For example, Greece has gross government debt of $315 billion. Spain with more than double that amount of almost $900 billion. And Italy with debt that is six times larger than Greece's, which is nearly $2 trillion. But that's not all. As I just found out from our sources, one of the concerns at the Bilderberger meeting was that they're concerned not only of these big countries, as they call southern European nations and Ireland, but also they're concerned with countries such as France's debt is almost as large as Italy at almost $2 trillion. And Germany, which is the motor of the European economy and supposedly the only nation that can save the world from oblivion, its debt is actually larger than Italy's, over $2.5 trillion. So again, the situation is stark in all the countries across the continent. And of course, on the one hand, as you so many times have stated on the air, that the plan is depopulation, because if you can destroy the economy, you're destroying the population base, because there's no growth, there's no progress. But as you and I talked about this 2 years ago on your show, what they're doing right now is there's a faction within Bilderberg that is increasingly concerned that this destruction, which is being done on purpose, may actually wipe them out as well. And that's something that, you know, no one is actually covering or talking about.
Now, I know you have some amazing sources inside Bilderberg, so I've got some questions along those lines. But every country, Greece, Spain, I mean, people ask, why is it called the pigs? You've got Portugal, you've got Italy, you've got Greece, Spain. That spells out pigs. And as the mega banks bail their own debt out, they have the media push and say that most of the debt was actually the populations, but we've done those numbers. In some countries, it's over 90% of the debt that they're being told is their debt is actually Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, their European divisions. And Barroso, who's a big New World Order guy, as you know, he came out in the London Guardian and blamed U.S. banks, but that's like blaming your other hand. So we're getting down towards the end game. No matter how many bailouts there are, they always need more.
About this whole, you know, there's a lot of, a great deal of debt buying going around in Europe especially, and a lot of people are asking or wondering, what does that do? Now, the thing is that the banks are buying it because the idea is to bankrupt nations. It's not to save the world from destruction. It's actually to destroy the nations. This is the old Venetian game in having your adversary go so far in debt to you that you control the adversary. You see, the banks themselves are buying debt, which is worthless. But many of these banks are not intended to survive, which is the case with a lot of banks in Spain, which has literally have been downgraded to junk status. Now, if you take the oligarchy at its word, the empire says they want to reduce the population to 1 billion people on this planet, which means that huge sections of the banking system,
yes,
huge sections of national economies, huge sections of the population, they're gonna go. So this system is never coming back. And this is what this bailout really is. In trying to save this money, which is really virtual money, it doesn't exist. The debt can never be paid. The derivatives, they have absolutely no value. It's all a sham. It's like monopoly money. But in trying to save that, what we're doing is destroying ourselves, destroying the nations, destroying the country.
Let me ask you this. Why does Bilderberg want a post-industrial world? Why do they want to reduce the population? Because they're meeting right now in Rio, and they're saying they want a post-industrial world. And here's AFP, women march in Rio to protest a green economy because it's not really a green economy. Why is Bilderberg so obsessed with reducing population and wrecking economies, Daniel Estulin?
Well, you know, Alex, again, it goes back to the, you know, we're living on a very small planet of 7 billion people with natural limited natural resources. In a generation, we're going to get to 10, 11 billion, 15, 20, 40. It's going to get to the point there's simply not enough food or water on the planet for everyone. And so for people like Rockefeller, just a euphemism for powerful people, to survive, for the elite, most of us have to disappear because, again, this is something that, you know, the Rouge people have been saying for a long time. This is something that, you know, the circles of Gottfried Leibniz over 250 years ago, you know, realized they knew that progress and development is directly proportional to population density. So if you want to progress, if you want to have more people on the planet, you have to have the technological levels to be able to sustain the life of all these, or lives of these billions of people. On the other hand, if you want to destroy the population base, undermine it, and wipe most of us out, what you need to do is destroy demand, destroy production. And that's why we so often see phrases such as zero growth, post-industrial age, as you said. You know, you and I talked about this after the 2006 Bilderberg meeting in Kanata, in Ottawa, in Canada, when we were working on the Endgame documentary, and you were interviewing me for that documentary. We were talking about it. So if people haven't seen Endgame, go back and see what Alex Jones did back in 2006 so that people can understand that this isn't some nonsense from a conspiracy freak. This is real. And what they're doing is they're destroying nation-state republics and creating this World Company Limited, a concept which was first brought up at the 1968 Bilderberg Conference in Canada by none other than George Ball of Lehman Brothers, who announced a project to build this world company. And the idea is that nation states at the time, this is 1968, they're outmoded, they're an archaic form of government. In a Malthusian world, they can't be relied on. They tend to believe that the resources in their countries, most countries, belong to the people who run the world, the Rockefellers and company. And so what they've done, in order to control the natural resources, they created a new form of government that decided in a corporation. So that's what the World Corporation is.
That's right. And you don't have a vote in it. That's why in the 1974 network, they call Howard Beale in and explain it all to him. When we come back, I want to continue with the latest info you've got from inside Bilderberg, Daniel Esteland, DanielEsteland.com. We'll also look at all the military battle lines being drawn right now. I'm not trying to shoot our guest horn, but he really has had a dramatic effect on the landscape and has amazing sources. Vanity Fair, the Wall Street Journal of Italy, you name it, have you know, pointed out just recently that he's one of the top researchers in this area. And of course, a few years ago, I'll ask him about this before he leaves us, at the end of the hour, Fidel Castro invited him to Cuba. And again, regardless of what you think of Castro's political bent, you know, here is Fidel Castro, in fact, a photo on screen, inviting Daniel Esteland, whose books he reads, to Cuba. And, I mean, so it just shows that, you know, he knows who runs the world, these banksters. So we'll be talking more with Daniel about that. This is a short segment, Daniel. I wanted to get into what's happening geopolitically, because the world is obviously, as it economically collapses by design to consolidate, it's militarily, the battle lines are being drawn. I mean, Russia, it's not even really in our news, but it's all over European news, as you know, has said three times the last 2 months, Medvedev and Putin, we will nuke you if you keep moving missiles in. Now they're sending Spetsnaz, special forces, and a Marine Spetsnaz, and ships into Syria, all sorts of high-tech weapons. I mean, this is getting crazy. Daniel, what is your Bilderberg sources telling you on these fronts?
The biggest Bilderberg's top headache into foreseeable future continues to be Putin, and that's something that they've all agreed on. Key areas of concern for the secretive organization is Russia's opposition to war in Syria and Iran, be they spun as humanitarian bombing or colored revolutions. Now, of particular concern for Bilderberg is Russia's insistence on maintaining state sovereignty intact. That's something that Putin has mentioned quite a few times, and that's something that the American media, at least, has completely eliminated from their discourse. Now, another concern for Bilderberg exactly to deal with Russia's quote-unquote belligerence, as one of the Bilderbergers put it, with respect to, number one, the U.S. bases encircling Russia, and number two, missile defense pointing its warheads at Moscow. Now, as far as Syria is concerned, Bilderberg agrees that the country's presence in Mediterranean is of great concern to NATO and the United States, and to Bilderberg, who would dearly wish to remove Russia's navy from the Syrian port of Tartus. Now, but as one European Bilderberger security expert commented, of far greater concern is Putin's emphasis on Eurasia integration. Now, Putin's ideas coordinating a powerful supranational union between Europe and the dynamic Asia-Pacific region. Now, one positive for Bilderberg as far as Russia's position on Syria is concerned is that Putin's options to oppose regime change in Syria are fraught with danger. The Bilderberg agreed that an inflexible pro-Assad position could leave Russia out of many international future understandings for Syria. And I quote from one of the Bilderbergers, they said, Russia was completely left out of Libya, and they won't want to risk being shut out of Syria as well, said one high-ranking U.S. diplomat attending the Bilderberg conference. Now, Bilderberg is convinced that Putin would rather share Syria with the United States and the European Union and have a say in the country's future direction than try to oppose it too much for too long. That's why Russia's position is not as powerful as a lot of people believe, but as you said, Russia is certainly flexing its military muscle, getting the Spetsnaz, which are the special forces, into Syria. TARP, you talked about that as well. My sources are saying this as well, and what you said, as Alex, is absolutely correct.
Incredible. Shifting gears, and I've got Aaron Dyke, since you mentioned it earlier, trying to find it. It's almost a three-hour film. In 2006, almost 2 years before the housing collapse began, and no one was talking about it, your sources said that in that meeting, because I talked to you that night right after it had ended, you hadn't had any sleep in over 2 days because you'd flown in from Spain, that, and it's in Endgame, that they were going to implode the housing market and begin a recession that would lead to global depression, the derivatives, the imploding economy, Europe, then the United States. I mean, you lay it all out in Endgame, and there it is. All these crises that they act like are just now starting and the globalists have a solution to them, we have them on record engineering them.
Well, that's right, yeah, Alex. That's one of the reasons why we get the Wall Street Italy, which is not exactly a slouch, getting, you know, giving me front page coverage, an entire page, talking about my 2012 Bilderberg report and saying, as you just mentioned, one of the few people who actually got the inside information from the people at the meeting. These are people who are very, very serious about what's going on. And again, Bilderberg has a lot of opposition within the group and also people who actually work for mainstream media, who understand what's going on, who don't want to see their countries wiped out, as, for example, right now we're seeing with Italy, now as Nigel Farage mentioned in the European Parliament in Strasbourg. Now, to save Spanish banks, Italy is being forced to lend money at 3%.
I'll tell you what, long segments. Sorry to interrupt. Long segments. Stay there. Tell us about opposition to Bilderberg, inside, a lot more, what's happening in Italy, back in just a few minutes. Okay, we did dig out the clip. This is from Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. I also then updated it in my Obama deception film of almost 4 years ago. And this is Daniel Estulin in the hotel lounge at around 11 o'clock at night with Jim Tucker as they're exchanging notes from their sources. I mean, this shows the power the Bilderberg Group has. Are they the absolute rulers? No, but they're as high as it gets in this Atlantic, European, U.S., England alliance, but not of our countries, of the global bankers that have hijacked us and conquered us and are trying to leverage our military, our tax money, our science against the rest of the world. Does that mean Russia and China are good guys? No. It simply means that we are under the control of the most vicious group who want total extermination. I mean, Putin pays people to get married and have kids. Here, they don't want you to. Again, it's a different group. And again, The Chinese, the Russians, they're not the ones taking over the U.S. The Chinese are to a certain extent. They're allied with the globalists more. But I'll get Daniel's sources on that and see if he agrees with that statement. We're going to get into what he was saying in Europe and then in the military situation in a moment where he left off in Italy. But first, here's that clip from Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. By the way, it's free online if you want to watch it. It's a very important film. Here it is.
Well, one of the things that, you know, we're getting from this morning, this afternoon's conference, this morning conference was about the energy crisis, the price of oil. This, the afternoon conference, which started about 4 o'clock, 4:30, they were talking about one of the American delegates, I wasn't told who exactly was talking about the the concern that the American citizens have had with the housing prices going down, so they're not investing that money. So what they needed to do is they needed to create the illusion that everything is going well. So what they're going to do over the next year and a half, is to bring the market back up to 1998, 1999 levels. They're going to get all the suckers to invest whatever little money they have left over, and that's when they're going to make the economy bottom drop out. They need to destroy the economy because as we're running out of oil, when people don't travel, at least that's what they're saying, when people don't travel, when people don't have money, they don't travel, they don't spend any money, which means you don't waste a lot of oil and natural gas. That's the afternoon.
So how does this source, I mean, just ballpark, I mean, so you have the sources.
Well, actually, the two people who are members of the Bilderberg Club.
Okay, that's good.
They're members of the Bilderberg Club.
And again, that's a really bad internet clip, just the first one we could find. There's higher quality ones available online of Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, or get the DVD at Infowars.com. But there is that clip, and you go on repeatedly in the film to just predict everything that's going to unfold. Let's continue now. Tell us what they're planning now to do to the economy. You had left off with the fact that there's people within Bilderberg that don't like what's happening, and that a lot of the nationalistic structures that are left are finally realizing that the New World Order is going to destroy their countries. Please continue.
You know, I want to mention, just comment on what you said about the Chinese taking over the United States. You know, one of the key conclusions from the Bilderberg meeting is that the United States will manipulate the fall of the U.S. dollar in value against the Chinese yuan. Now, the thinking behind is that a devalued dollar will inflate away America's debts and its obligations. Now, Bilderberg is not particularly concerned about the people of the United States, and obviously they're going to use them as guinea pigs in this entire experiment. What, of course, is being sacrificed is the purchasing power of the American dollar. It's all part of the deal with Beijing to help Washington inflate away its debts and give China more say in the global economy. Now, if you look at the actual list of attendees, you will see China's Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ying Fu. Now, this individual was there at the Bilderberg Conference. Also, Yiping Huang, Professor of Economics, China Center for Economic Research at the Peking University, was also invited to Bilderberg 2012. Now, this gentleman, you know, that is talking about the people who have been financed by the Rockefeller Corporation, by the Ford Corporation for many, many years. Now, collusion between the U.S. government and the Chinese government is in progress. Now, you would think, Alex, this should be the front page news in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, in the Financial Times, in Time Magazine. Now, you will not see any of this because, needless to say, what we're seeing is an active participated in a debate on the destruction of the American dollar at the expense of the Chinese currency, yuan, are also involved in the Bilderberg meeting this year, who also participated in the collusion. Chang Li, the director of research and senior fellow at John Thornton China Center with Brookings Institute, and of course, Robert Rubin, the former Secretary of the Treasury and also court chairman of the powerful Council of Foreign Relations. These are the individuals plotting with the Chinese government and the American government to destroy the United States dollar, and I think it should be on the front page of every newspaper.
Yes, sir.
In America.
And paying $22 billion of U.S. tax money to move General Motors, Volt, and Cadillac factories to China. So we don't just pay, and then our traitorous globalist government has tax incentives to move our jobs to China, but now our government pays to shut us down. Let me ask you this detailed question, because from my sources, going back to 75 and those agreements with Nixon, there is a strategic plan with the United States and China, and that there was a deal offered by Russia around that time to do a sneak attack with the U.S. on China, that China shed you know, basically, well, that Russia said no. And so the deal was made for the, quote, U.S., the bankers, to go with China. But then you have the double game of bases being set up around China. So I guess the globalists make deals with them, the carrot, but then have the stick. Does that mesh with your deep sources and research? What's the real lay of the land with the three power blocks, or four, but Europe and the United States and England and the Commonwealth is one or two, depending on how you look at it. Russia, and then, of course, what's happening with China, with Japan basically allied out there with the United States. What's the real power breakdown globally?
Alex, it's a very, very good question. You brought up a very interesting point. Now, you have to go back, actually, to the fact that the critical breakdown of which the Bilderbergers and their cohorts have been working on intensely, as you said, you know, going back to the 70s, actually since the 1960s, was the breakup of Bretton Woods system, without which you could have never had the oil hoax of the second part of the 70s. And, of course, that whole thing was destroyed by Nixon beginning in 1971. In 1973, 74, extending all the way through the Carter administration and the second oil hoax, 79, 80. Now, what they've done, talking about these divisions between different countries and the Chinese and the Russians. Now, the European oligarchy was intent on breaking up the system that FDR had set up for post-World War II order that was premised on the decolonization of the planet. So what they've done, you know, the elite, they took a series of steps in the mid to late 1960s in Britain, for example, under Harold Wilson, to weaken and effectively destroy the Bretton Woods system in 1971. That's one of the reasons why we had Nixon going to China, Kissinger going to China, you know, the Chinese and the Americans working together, also with the Russians on the other side. Now, what happened was, okay, another individual involved was, of course, George Shultz. So you see, the stage was set to go from a system of fixed exchange rate that gave an advantage to real productive development and investment. And after 1971, everything went in favor of the speculators. And that, again, something that was very much decided between the Americans and the Chinese, because you could never get something like this done without these other big nations, superpowers, you know, being on the take or knowing what was going on. So you see, the oil shock of 1973, the 400% targeted increase, which Bilderberg talked about, and we have the documents to prove it in May 1973, saying that in 6 months prices are going to go to, you know, between $10.50 and $12 per barrel. It went to $11.65. Now, if you look back and compare those numbers today, it probably goes way beyond the 400%. But what I'm saying is, all of that was aimed at launching a systemic or systematic process of the looting of the actual productive wealth of all of the major nations of the planet. And what you have, for example, in countries such as Saudi Arabia and all those other countries of the Persian Gulf, are pseudo-states that are under the domination of the City of London, which is just, you know, another way to say Bilderberg, or however you want to call it, you know, the financial elite, the financial oligarchy. And needless to say, the Chinese were in on it back in the 1970s, and they're in on it today.
How does Russia play into this?
Well, you know, Putin is in an interesting position. On the one hand, the Russians and the Chinese, they obviously understand that, you know, they have to work together. That if they don't work together, you have, you know, the United States government, you have Bilderberg, you have, you know, London, you have all these nations actually going up against the interests of the Russians. But also, on the other hand, you know, the Russians are fully aware that the Chinese and the Americans are working together, you know, destroying the United States dollar. So what the Russians are actually doing, working on right now, is bilateral agreements with the Chinese. And, of course, Russia's strength, you know, and they're playing to its strength, is its energy reserve. And Bilderberg, that's one of the things they talked about at the meeting, is particularly concerned about this thing called South Stream Pipeline, which is a mega project of over $20 billion. Now, South Stream Gas Pipeline is to transport Russian natural gas under the Black Sea to the southern part of the European Union through Bulgaria, Serbia, Hungary, and Slovakia, and then on to Italy and Austria, supplying over 60 billion cubic meters of gas annually. And, of course, Bilderberg is extremely concerned is that South Stream could turn into a major victory for Russia at the expense of the European Union, American-backed Nabucco pipeline from Turkey to Austria. And, of course, of even greater concern to Bilderberg is Putin's attempt, and this is where Russia and China come in working together, is Putin's attempt to integrate Asia into cohesion And of course, this merger, this union between the Russians and the Chinese will preempt all Bilderberg-led meddling, because what they're planning to is they're planning to turn Pakistan and Iran into full members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. The repercussions of this will be groundbreaking, according to one European Bilderberger security expert.
Well, if you look at what the West has been doing in Pakistan, is driving Pakistan, who's hated the Russians and the Chinese to a certain extent, into the arms of the Chinese. So again, you see a double game where Kissinger and these people actually have more investments in China. So in the final equation, they just want to have it all balanced out. And in the final equation, sell the United States down the river. As you said, we're just more real estate to them. How are things going for them? Because the break interrupted you. We never went back to Italy. I mean, how are things going for the banksters? How are things going for the money changers? Are things going well, or are they going badly?
Well, things are not going as well as they had hoped. Obviously, you know, Europe is in a systemic, you know, breakdown. You know, United States is in a terrible situation. You have all these nations such as Russia, which, you know, allegedly or almost were subjugated back in the 1990s with that alcoholic usurper by the name of Yeltsin. And now Putin steps in and, you know, he turned the whole thing around. And he basically runs roughshod over the United States policy. And he's a much better negotiator than all these other Bilderbergers are. And so needless to say, they're very upset. They also understand, according to what was said in the Bilderberger meeting, is that, you know, they've basically given up. Kasparov, who's a former world chess champion, was in attendance, as you know, at this meeting. You know, but according to Bilderberger sources, Bilderberg has very little confidence in Garry Kasparov. You know, and as one Bilderberger source said, his street smarts relating to Kasparov leave a lot to be desired. And as one American Bilderberger stated, and I quote, "If this was a boxing match, we'd be looking at a mismatch of the century. That's Putin versus Kasparov. We'll have to wait." And while Bilderberg continues to finance Kasparov's United Civil Front in hopes of stirring up trouble in Russia, the secretive cabal is out looking for wiser and smarter and more charismatic figures to give Putin a run for his money, and they're going to have a hell of a hard time doing this, because Putin is a very, 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 very difficult nut to break. Now, going to Italy, I don't know how much time we have, but just a few words about that. Italy is not Spain. Spain is being wiped out, is actually, you know, giving up for dead. That's what Bilderberg has agreed on. Now, Italy is in a much better situation because, unlike Spain, Italy has never had much of a real estate bubble. Second of all, Italy, unlike Spain, has very little private debt. And also, Italy is home to the Venetian black nobility and its far-reaching first-rate banking apparatus, stretching back almost 750 years, as well as hundreds of first-rate companies with secure niches in the world export markets. And most of these companies, they form an important part of some of the world's most powerful secret societies and private organizations, such as Bilderberg Group. Then, of course, there's another very important link in Italy. There's an interlocked relationship between the mafia, the state, the corporate world, and the clergy, which isolates Italy from any impending crisis. And finally, again, Italy is home to this very little-known institution called the Vatican. So, you know, all in all, Italy is in a much greater position. They're home to Venetian black nobility, which is the base of what Bilderberg is today. Also, we've talked about that in the endgame, you know, the Venetian nobility. But, you know, the situation is not as well as it could be for us, but obviously much better than they had hoped, you know, several years back.
What about domestic things here in the U.S., tidbits? I see the media swinging towards Mitt Romney. I see the left establishment coming out against Obama. I see a lot of kingmakers drifting towards him. I see Bloomberg coming out and doing a purposed leak saying he's endorsing Romney. Did you get any word on who the Bilderberg Group wants for the U.S. elections? Because our information looks like they're leaning towards Romney.
You know, I'd say the same thing. I don't have a lot of information on that, but from bits and pieces I have heard, that makes a lot of sense, because Obama, you know, is he's spent, you know, he's used good. You know, there's just too many people that figured his game, and if, you know, they figured out Obama's game, he's no good to the Bilderbergers. So they need somebody else, a fresh face with fresh ideas. So I, you know, I see quite likely, because I also see, you know, a lot of, you know, positioning behind the scenes. You know, there's a lot of in the intelligence world, there's a lot of, you know, consistently, you know, games are being played and system being tested. So the way way system is being tested right now in the intelligence world, I see a lot of possibilities that Romney is actually going to be the presidential candidate. And that's all going to be obviously depend on his ability to present his ideas to the American public. And this is exactly the same thing that happened back in 2008. And we talked about this on your show. You know, Bilderberg has said Obama is going to be the candidate. It's his presidency to lose. He won the presidency. He didn't do as well as they had hoped. Now, 4 years later, a new man is going to come in. Again, that all depends on Romney. It doesn't depend on Bilderberg. They can pick a candidate. You know, they got two horses in this race, the Democrats and the Republicans. But it's up to Romney to actually make a play and convince, you know, quote-unquote, the Americans that he is going to be the leader to lead America, you know, through the difficult period.
So at a certain point, as long as they own both the candidates, they'll let them battle it out.
Candidate. You know, the game plan has been set. You know, the pieces are in place. It's just a question of, there's always, you know, 10-15% unknown factors of what could actually happen. You know, we talked about this scenario, you know, back in 2006-2007 when there was plans or at least talk about assassinating Ron Paul, and, you know, the trial balloon at the time was what would happen if this were to happen. That thankfully didn't happen, but the point is that these are the kinds of games that they play.
Hold on, I want to hear in our final segment what you're getting at with that. Amazing information with Daniel Estulin, danielestulin.com. All right, he's with us about 5 minutes into the next hour, then a big news blitz ahead of a guest joining us who's having his home taken, a World War II hero. Daniel, you were finishing up with Ron Paul. Then I want to ask you about the U.S. economy briefly, and then a few years ago, you got invited by Fidel Castro to Cuba. Tell us what that was like. You've got the floor.
Yeah, I actually went to see him in August 2010, at the end of August. And he loved the book. He didn't know, you know, anything. I'm not sure whether he knew of Bilderberg, but he certainly understands the world politics and geopolitics. And he invited me to Cuba. I spent 1 week with him. We had a 3.5-hour meeting, which was divided into about an hour and a half meeting with him and I and other journalists, asking questions on his behalf. You know, Castro and I had a 15-minute private conversation. And then we had a lunch, you know, with some of the dignitaries of the Cuban government. But what was interesting about this whole thing is he understands better than most politicians about who actually runs things in the world. He spends most of his time reading. He understands where all of these individuals come from. He knows them personally, obviously. And we're talking about, for example, immortality and demand destruction and zero growth. You know, he understood these concepts from the word go. He didn't have to explain it to him. He knew exactly how things run. And I tell you, for an 85-year-old man, he had incredible charisma. And if he actually ran in the American politics, even without speaking English, he'd win this whole thing, you know, hands down, because there's no prepared speeches, you know, there's no teleprompters, just the guy, Fidel Castro, you know, talking. It doesn't matter, as you said earlier, whether you're left, you're right. And, you know, and I certainly, you know, have no relation to Cuba whatsoever, but it's still, it's amazing how you talk to an individual like Castro and you realize how much you can actually offer, you know, from a point of view of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And you also realize how little American press knows about him.
Well, I know that early on the CIA worked with him, but then supposedly there was a falling out.
Well, you know, there's obviously been over, you know, I can tell you one thing, that he has tremendous security. And before I actually got in to see him, you know, I was frisked 10 times over, obviously, you know, he had, I don't know, 20, 30 bodyguards around him. But we actually sat down, and you know, for our meeting, the whole atmosphere was very relaxed, very, you know, outgoing. And he's a very, very funny man. And, you know, after the meeting, they took me throughout the week that I was actually there to see the Chernobyl Center, where one of the kids from the Soviet Union, from Ukraine, were there actually being nursed back to health. And over the past 20 years, over 20,000 kids have passed through Chernobyl, and Cuba obviously being a very poor nation. All of these kids are being treated for free, something which is unfathomable in the United States. Now, I'm not promoting Cuba, I'm just saying what I saw with my eyes, and it's amazing, you know, how the whole idea of nation states and what's actually, you know, common good, what actually is working, something is working, how much good that actually does for the community.
Well, what's interesting is that he invited you there because he'd read your book. I saw that in Reuters everywhere. You know, that Fidel Castro is looking into the New World Order, because it really is the real politics. Whether you like Castro or hate him or are indifferent, the fact is this is real. There are shadowy banking cartels that are trying to govern our planet. They're trying to get a total world government. The question is, will we let them? Because of all the ideologies, the globalists are the worst. They want global government, the end of the family, and mass extermination. They are like aliens from another planet come to kill us.
Well, you know, if we're going to take our country or countries back, we have to do it now before any more rights are taken and any more people disappear and before we lose all control. So we have to stand up, understand that this is real, understand this isn't some figment of imagination of some guy who writes a book or a radio personality who sells something on the radio. This is real, folks. When Wall Street Italy talks about it, I mean, also, Alex, not only did I see Castro, but I also gave him two speeches at the European Parliament, which is an equivalent of the United States Congress. And in these speeches, very well attended by international media, needless to say, not reported at all in the American press, but widely.
Stay there, stay there, Europe. Stay there.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're doing five more minutes with Daniel Estulin, left over from the last hour, finishing up. He's written nonfiction books that are bestsellers. He's got a fiction, but he can put more reality in that than a regular book and get away with it. The Octopus Conspiracy is coming out in the U.S. in September. We're going to get him on about that in September. Look forward to carrying it at InfoWarsShop.com. But, Daniel, finishing up the point you were making, yeah, you're speaking to the EU Parliament. You're not just going and visiting with Fidel Castro. This information is really breaking through. That's why they never wanted to admit it existed, because once you admit there's cabals running things and that presidents and prime ministers are puppets in the West, we could begin to have a real political debate and maybe get our power back, get our countries back.
Well, this is exactly what's happening. Now, the thing is that a lot of the Bilderbergers way back when I wrote my first book in 2005 on the true story of the Bilderberg Group, people were taking us for freaks, saying that this is nonsense, doesn't exist. Well, of course, okay, it does exist, but these people just are pointless debating society. They don't really do any harm. That's what a lot of people were saying. And now we're getting mainstream publications such as Vanity Fair in Spain, and gave me three pages a couple of weeks ago, Wall Street Italy, full-page coverage. We have Castro, we have European Parliament, Mario Borghezio, one of the most important Europarlamentarians. He's always, promoting me on in the European Parliament, talking about Bilderberg. You covered that as well on Infowars.com. So there's a lot of attention being paid right now by the mainstream press and by the people who know what's going on. And our sources, as I said to you before, working on the Bilderberg documentary, which we released in a couple of months worldwide. And we had, people from, for example, Rothschild Europe, who said that they would love to participate. They know that everything I'm saying is absolutely true, but they just simply can't, because they can't do it as an individual and as an entity. They're simply afraid to do it.
That's big. I hate to interrupt. You're saying Rothschilds have contacted you, because I found it interesting. Luke Radowski confronted the head of the British Royal Rothschild, and he stopped and came over to Luke almost in a friendly way. And then Luke kind of said stuff back to him. Luke wishes he would have waited and be nice. And then so Rothschild walked away. But
these people are not the individual that I'm talking about. Their last name is not Rothschild, but they're obviously a very high level of Rothschild Corporation in Europe. So they understand what's going on. These aren't some, Joe Blow, Joe Sixpack, who doesn't know anything at all. These people know who runs the world. And so they have no qualms at all saying you're absolutely right. We just can't say it. We had Martin Wolf. I sent him an email saying I'm working on a documentary. Do you want to participate? And he sent me a reply saying, how dare you work on a Bilderberg documentary? documentary, and I will never give you an interview. So needless to say, that's going in the film as well. So we're actually ruffling a lot of feathers. Now, I wouldn't be able to do this by myself if I hadn't had access to programs such as yours. That's going to be worldwide as soon as, you know, this broadcast ends. It's going to be on your page, on my page, and people from Japan to South Korea to Australia and Argentina will be able to listen to it and pass it on to their friends. So we're actually doing a lot of damage to these people, Alex.
Final question in the 1 minute we have, Daniel Estlin, DanielEstlin.com, and obviously I want to get you back for the film and the book. Are there any breaks inside the elite families themselves? Are any of them not liking what their families are doing?
You know, unfortunately, I don't think so, because, you know, you're talking about a close-knit circle of the elite themselves, and you have the others who come and join these meetings, but they're not as important. It's within these others who come and join on regular, not-so-regular basis that you're seeing a lot of discontent. But the elite themselves, it's a small nucleus, and they're united. They understand their goals, and it's like a close-knit family. They have a common enemy. That's us, and they're working against us.
We are their enemy. Wow, powerful interview. There's the name of the interview right there. We posted on the web after it's live today, just aired. The Bilderberg's enemy. The Bilderberg has an enemy. It's us, or Bilderberg. I got to think about that. Daniel Estlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Alex, to you.
All right, we'll be right back with a big news blitz. Then we've got a World War II veteran, a hero, having his house taken.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers is going to be joining us. This article is up at Infowars.com right now. World War II war hero has land and home stolen. And they are coming to take his home. They've already announced it's theirs. And it wasn't the mortgage from the info I have from Stuart Rhodes. It is that he's bankrupt, so now they're going to take his house. Don't they have homesteads where this guy's based? We're going to try to get him on as well. His hearing's not good, and he's on his way to the VA right now. But I've just seen how these banks and people prey on old people, and it makes me really, really, really angry. You know, we bail them out with tens of trillions of dollars, and then for creditors, he's saying for medical bills and credit card bills, they're taking his house. So it looks like it's the trustee of the bankruptcy is who needs to have a talking to about this stuff. Just amazing to see this kind of stuff happening. Now, don't forget, I talked about this in the first hour. I'm launching a nationwide contest. Before I get into the news, I want to talk about this briefly again. To expose the fact that the presidency is becoming a dictatorship. And the president right now is Obama. And we did another one of these operations 3 years ago, and media all over the U.S. implied it was illegal to criticize the president. And we have clips of those newscasts actually in a video posted there titled Stop Dictator Obama. Now, there's $15,000 in prizes. By the way, I will announce the $10,000 winners, $5,000 apiece, next Thursday. We're going to start today posting the finalists. We've got it down to about 100. I mean, I'm going to have to stay up here late tonight because there's so many good people. Over 600 entries for the reporter contest. And I've had to not do the TV show this week because of this. I'm not complaining. It's my fault. I bite off more than I can chew routinely. You know, I start a fight with somebody I can't whoop, as they say. because, wow, look at that sign. Infowars.com, dictator scum, resign. Who came up with that? Oh, Marcos did that. Wow. Wow, well, let's put that up. That's a great graphic. Yeah, you can use our graphics and hang them or make your own. Doesn't matter. It's whoever hangs up the most in the most dramatic, legal and lawful way. That means if you could get on the stage legally and lawfully of a national TV show and go, look at my flyer, you'd probably win. Whoever has the biggest effect. Friday at midnight. Do it. Upload the video to YouTube. Download our flyers or make your own. That's phase one, $5,000 to get the media to cover it. And undoubtedly, they're going to end up attacking the First Amendment. That's how we defend it, showing these tyrants are coming after it. Then, over the next 2 weeks, $10,000. It's two winners. One will be $5,000, one will be $10,000. It's not a first and second place. It's two different contests. Same operation. And you can, and if you're the best and win round one, you can win round two, too. This is not some communist system where, oh, well, you've already won. Now I'm reading about swim teams, even big swim teams, where if somebody keeps winning all the blue ribbons and all the best at the meet in their age group, that they're now not going to let you have it the second time. And I'm hearing about people that win spelling bees at schools now aren't allowed to win the next time or are disqualified. This is actually in the news. So I guess on swim team, my son and my daughter both win the blue ribbons almost every time. I was a good swimmer as well. Man, if I'd have stayed in it, I swam like three seasons and was winning almost every time. And I was like 12 and looked at my parents and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they said, Okay, you don't have to do this anymore. I wish that I would have been made to continue to do it. But that's another side issue. I am getting bleed over. And I don't know if I'm getting it from Genesis up in Minnesota, or I don't know if I'm getting it in here. But it is driving me absolutely crazy. It's probably from Genesis because it's another show. But it is extremely irritating. Very irritating. Okay. I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to do a radio show with somebody's feeding your ear. And if you guys can't hear it, I can hear it. I can. Yeah, no, I'm just letting everybody know because we always go through that process of, you know. Just went away. Must have been on Genesis End. Thank you, John. Wait a minute. It's me. It's a second delay. It's Alex Jones. Echo. Echo. Boy, nobody's more annoying than me. I have to hear myself. People have my show on, even at night up here listening to it. And I walk around the office going, turn it off. Turn it off. Don't make me listen to that guy anymore. Once is enough. No, I'm just. I said I'd cover news, didn't I? Well, I've already read all this news. I covered a bunch of it before when I first got on air, but it is all so crazy. Okay, let me just go over this report. Let's just start somewhere. Woman arrested for groping TSA supervisor. Federal agency characterizes incident as act of violence. And it goes on here that the woman was a former TSA person but quit doing it. And then she was flying out to go to a funeral and had her genitals and breasts grabbed. So she called a supervisor over and explained to them that they're not supposed to grab them that hard and showed the woman what was happening. She was arrested for assault, sexual assault. So again, they're going to sexually assault you. And if a cop did this without it being an emergency situation, they'd get charged. But these people can do it because the federal government says so. Carol Price, herself a former TSA screener, was traveling to her brother's funeral in Cleveland, Ohio, by way of Southwest Florida International Airport. After Price became infuriated at receiving a pat-down, which included touching her breast and genitals, a violation of the protocols she herself had been trained to carry out. Well, you were there in the old days, lady. They take babies' diapers off now. The Lee County woman voiced her complaint to a TSA supervisor by physically demonstrating how she was groped. The video shows Price briefly running her hands up and down and inside the thigh and crotch of the TSA supervisor. Well, if they didn't resist, that's how TSA gets away with this, by the way, then you could say it was consensual. That's what she needs to have her lawyer say, that, oh, she said I could show her how it's done. Oh, but then it's assault. You don't do that to me. I do that to little old ladies all day. It continues here. Price believed she was being targeted for harsh treatment by her former coworker for personal reasons. She was removed from her flight, Mr. Brothers' funeral, handcuffed and taken to jail. Okay, continuing, moving right along here. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to get into it a little bit now. Woman sues city of Tulsa for cutting down her edible garden. And later, if we have time, we'll play a short clip of that. Continuing here, a Tulsa woman is suing the city's code enforcement officers after she said they cut down her garden with no cause. Denise Morrison said she had more than 100 plant varieties in her front and backyard. You don't do that, prisoner. This is a supermax. Only medium and low max have gardens. You're in a supermax, you scum American. Denise Morrison said she has more than 100 plant varieties in her front and backyard, and all of them are edible or have a purpose. And it goes on. There's not even a rule in Tulsa. They tried a few years ago. We covered it. I mean, there was the mayor and city council people in the news saying, you might grow marijuana, so you got to have an inspection. They tried to get a law passed. You got to have a government inspection. Well, they couldn't get that passed, so now they just come out, cut it down, saying it's a nuisance. And I saw the newscast. Just amazing. It's a nice little garden she's got. Very pretty. I wish I had one that nice. And it's all gone. You're not going to grow lemons in your front yard, slave. Okay? You don't. What do you think this is, America? You're in North Korea, honey. Continuing here with the news. Big article from the American Dream blog up at Infowars.com. All over America, government control freaks are forcing preppers back onto the grid. And there's article after article in this long story of them. People who hook up their own solar in California, they're coming out and saying you're not allowed to have your own solar. You got to be hooked into the grid if you have solar. People out in the country are being harassed. People that have had outhouses for 50 years are being told they can't have them. Nuisance abatement teams are going into the countryside everywhere. I mean, just article after article after article. And it's just incredible to see. This is how they're bringing in the tyranny. This is part of Agenda 21, is this system of using zoning, unified global zoning, to harass the daylights out of you. Oh, $2,000 a day fines for hay dust in a barn. Hay dust is bad, is a pollutant. Oh, when there's a rain, if any mud runs off in the creek because you have cows, huge fines. Meanwhile, Big Agra is totally left alone to do whatever they want. GMOs left alone, all of it. They're trying to ban chickens in small towns everywhere, even killing people that have them. Remember the chicken man up in Georgia there in Roswell, Georgia. Holder, by the way, just because our guys went up there and tried to talk to him, they put $1 million security fence and barricades in because they're so scared that media came and talked to them in Georgia. I mean, that's how flipped out and crazy government's gotten. Holder agrees to meet with Issa. You know, he's been in contempt. So now I guess he says, okay, I agree to meet, but he hasn't given him the documents. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. That's out of the Hill newspaper. Baseball's Roger Clemens acquitted of all charges. He lied to Congress, they claim, and they wanted to spend $3 million going after him. What about Eric Holder? They always want to go after some petty sports person. In fact, I'm going to cover that when we come back, and then we'll see if we can play a clip off that local news where you're not allowed to have a garden in Tulsa because you're a prisoner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free.
We ain't nothing if we can't have little gardens in the front of our yards, in the back of our yards. Government doesn't like it. Tulsa says they don't like people growing gardens. And I've seen it in other areas. People been arrested before for gardens. And then the code inspector shows up and people show him. They go, well, it says I can have a garden, city ordinance. Well, I say it's objectionable. And you notice it says anything that we find objectionable. Well, I guess you're God then, code inspector. Let me tell you, I've run into some code inspectors that are the scum of the earth. I've run into some others that are real nice people. But more and more, they want to hire people that hate private property and hate people's freedom. But maybe I'm an extremist. I mean, maybe the right for the Amish to have milk, maybe the right to have your own privacy in your home's wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Look at this. NYPD stop and frisk. They had 200,000+ in the first 3 months of this year. We haven't gotten new numbers. This has happened to yours truly in England and in London, England, and in New York, where the police search your car, search your person, And if you say, well, what about the Fourth Amendment? They scream at you and threaten to taser you and take you to jail. In fact, I have some of this on video in martial law. I'm walking down the street and a cop comes over and says, what are you doing with the video camera? And I said, well, I'm media. Because about 400 yards away was the big facility where they were holding the protesters out there on Pier 57. And he started screaming at me saying, you shut up, you know, you filth and all this stuff. And it's just like, wow. You really are a gang member with a badge and gun. You are like a North Korean police officer. You're everything wrong with this country. And imagine living in New York. None of it has anything to do with the staged events of 9/11. The cops that breathe the deadly dust, treated like garbage, they don't care. As long as they can bully some people. And again, we don't want police to become like this everywhere. That's why we're criticizing it. Bloomberg remains firm on stop and frisk policy. It's not a law. It's a policy. It's a policy for the TSA to grope your daughter, your wife, your son. It's a policy to put you in a microwave system. It's a policy. A policy. Look at this. Kurt Nemo article, Infowars.com, linked to Declan McCullough of CNET News. This is not a joke. FBI wants to outlaw new internet technology. They say that they don't want to force companies to give them back doors to everything, just outlaw new forms of internet communications. I'm not joking. The FBI wants Congress to pass a law that would prevent the implementation, talk about a Luddite, of new and more effective internet communications protocol. It proposes IPv6 because it is more difficult to trace users. IPv5 makes surveillance easier. So they want IPv6 banned. The FBI Drug Enforcement Administration, because somebody might commit a crime on the internet, somebody might grow pot in their garden, so you can't have one in Tulsa. There's no law, but we have guns. Now, there it is on screen if you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. FBI Drug Enforcement Administration and Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers have told industry representatives that IPv6 traceability is necessary to identify people suspicious of crimes. The FBI has even suggested that the new law may be necessary if the private sector doesn't do enough voluntarily. The FBI is upset about going dark problem. In other words, it's having difficulty keeping up with changes in technology. It's formed the Domestic Communications Assistance Center to keep up with the speed. Instead of figuring out how to trace the new protocol, the FBI wants the federal government to come up with law that prevents ISPs, the agency describes as lazy, from using more efficient technology. So they want to ban people using one type because they say it's not as easy for them. The IP also wants to force ISPs, that's internet service providers, to spend their own money and time keeping records of what IP addresses their customers are assigned. Congress approves this burdensome requirement last year. Well, I mean, IP addresses are public, dodos. So, you know, for websites and things, why don't you just do it? Again, under the entire, I just called them a bad name. I called the FBI dodos. I sound like my grandmother's grandmother now. You nasty little dodo. My grandmother's mother wouldn't even say the word spit. Look how far we've slumped towards Gomorrah here, ladies and gentlemen. Spit, spit, spittle, spat. Ha ha. Ha ha. Anyways, continuing here. I'm going crazy reading all this news. Big article with big mainline studies. You got to read this. I meant to spend like an hour on this today. Vaccinated children have up to 500 more diseases than 500% more diseases than unvaccinated children. Yeah, look at all the Canadian studies. Doubles your chances of getting the flu the next year if you take the flu shot. Just look that up. I mean, it fries people. This came out earlier this year. Most of the new, it was something like 65%, I forget the exact number, it was over 60% of the whooping cough cases in California that they're using as an excuse, the increase, to try to push vaccination. The increase was caused by vaccinated children getting it. Just like 46,000 plus cases of polio that killed over 10,000 from the UN's polio program last year in India alone.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here, and this is an amazing report we're about to break down here. I would like to get our guest on sometime, just because there are so few World War II vets left out there, especially those that have seen the type of things that he's seen. The gentleman that is having his home and his land taken, and they want him to exhume his wife, is Warren C. Boedeker, 89-year-old World War II Army Airborne Combat Veteran and war hero living in Montana, who's being thrown off his own land and thrown out of his own house by Montana Federal Bankruptcy Trustee. And again, a house and land, from what I know, are paid for. Correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to go to Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers, himself a paratrooper of a later era, and he's also a constitutional lawyer. He's also representing Rob Dew in his suit against the G20. Or our reporter getting arrested a few years ago. That's another issue. But Warren C. Boedeker was one of the people involved in the Los Banos raid, is one of the most celebrated textbook examples of a perfect rescue operation in military history. And you can read about it there in the link that's at Infowars.com. World War II war hero is having his land and home stolen over at Oath Keepers. They also have the article. That's where it originates from. And it just goes over all the different things that, I mean, a real live war hero was part of one of the most famous rescue operations ever, parachuting behind enemy lines to fight a larger force of Japanese who'd been killing U.S. and British troops as they left the POW camps that they had as they retreated. So they went in and saved the people before they could kill any of them. And he had to go to the VA today. He's driving down the road. He's getting to a better cell spot. We're going to call Warren here in a few minutes. In fact, he's online with us now. But I wanted to bring Stuart Rhodes up first, who's gone and shot a video interview that's posted at Infowars.com. We're going to play part of that coming up as well. But Stuart, because you're a lawyer, you've met with him, you know the case, give us the specifics, because you know this is happening to veterans all over the country, and not just veterans, the citizens. And the big banks have been caught taking houses that are totally paid for. They don't even have deeds to. In this case, though, I didn't know that you could take people's houses if they were retired and they were homesteaded, their house, if it was their only residence, and if they were retired, at least in Texas and most other states. I know you're up in Montana as well, so you're the one breaking the story. Constitutional lawyer Stuart Rhodes, what do you make of this? What's happening? And tell us about Warren C. Boedeker.
Well, what this really is elder abuse. What they did is he didn't disclose some silver coins that he had that him and his wife had been storing away since 1964. You know, they store food, they're LDS, they've stored food all their lives, and they also socked away some silver, and they never spent it. And in his mind, this was his retirement, and so he didn't disclose it. And because he didn't disclose that, and he had a relative of his, unfortunately, rat him out to the court, his stepson. And when they found that out, then they dropped the hammer on him and said, you didn't disclose this. And so we're going to take everything you own. We're going to do an adversarial proceeding.
But that's ridiculous. If he had something back in the 60s, I mean, that's his.
Well, you know, he should have disclosed it. Even if it's exempt, they're supposed to disclose it. This is the problem. Here's a man who doesn't understand complex legal issues, doesn't understand bankruptcy, and they get him in this position. And once they got that, once they got something on him, they just went after him like a mad dog. And they just said, you know, if you fight us, we'll take everything you have, and you'll wind up penniless. We'll attack your homestead. We'll void your homestead. We'll deny you the discharge. And so they pressured him into signing a stipulation that agreed to waive his homestead and give up his bankruptcy. And so he wound up with nothing in the end. He didn't get anything out of it. They went ahead and denied him the bankruptcy and wiped away.
Well, over some coins, losing a house, land, everything.
Right. And so they pressured him into signing this, and we're going to challenge this on his capacity to understand what he was signing. His lawyer at the time gave him, I think, horrendous advice. There's no way they're going to put an old man like this in prison. So it was an empty threat, but they pressured and threatened him with prison time, and they pressured him into signing away his right to his homestead. And as you said earlier, when you have a homestead like that, creditors can't get it. So he'd have been better off if he just unplugged his phone and threw all the bills in the trash and ignored the bank's
call. Exactly, but people don't know this. And in fact, they had the Department of Education SWAT team people over unpaid bills. to create a national fear that you can be arrested if you don't pay tuition, which is a fraud. There is no law. We don't have debtor's prison. That's what 1776 was all about, while the bankers steal billions. But continuing here, this is amazing. So obviously somebody wanted that house. Somebody wanted to be able to sell it. And so over...
Yeah, exactly. And this is the problem is that from what I know of bankruptcy, and after calling, I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer, but I called several, and they said, well, the trustee gets a percentage of whatever she can bring into the estate. And so if she can successfully attack his homestead and bring the home into the estate for the creditors, then she gets a cut. And this is the other thing, is this trustee hired herself as the lawyer for the estate and as the lawyer for the trustee. So she's her own lawyer, and so she's charging legal fees to advise herself and to advise the estate. And then she's being paid a percentage, apparently, a percentage of the take for the whole thing.
Oh, boy, I tell you, so this is a whole ball of worms here, Stuart. As a constitutional lawyer, I know top of your class, but this is a whole other legal hat to wear here, but I'm not a lawyer, but this looks like somebody's going to be in some big trouble unless the local judge and everybody are in on it. Here's the problem. This guy is a famous war hero. Tell us about that, and then we're going to bring Warren C. Boedeker up.
Well, as you said earlier, he's part of one of the most famous rescues. He, along with 121 other paratroopers, they parachuted in at 7 o'clock in the morning, first thing in the morning when they knew the Japanese guards would be out exercising, and they caught him with their pants down, and they rescued over 2,000 civilians and also military, including men, women, and children. And they knew that the Japanese were going to slaughter them all, and they knew that. That's why they did this. They went in behind enemy lines, got them out. And when they came back, when the Japanese retook the area, they took revenge on the local population and killed 1,500 Filipino men, women, and children villagers to get revenge on them for aiding the raid. And so this is a good example. I mean, if Warren hadn't done this, and him and his fellow paratroopers had not done this, all 2,200 of those prisoners would have been slaughtered, and then they would never have had children and grandchildren. You can probably figure about 50,000 people wouldn't exist on this planet.
And by the way, I've never been in the military. I'm not even a history buff when it comes to the military. I knew about this raid because I remember over a decade ago seeing a show on it, I think it was History Channel, about this.
Right.
This is a very famous... this guy really is part of a serious war hero operation. And now here he is. They're going to have to dig up his wife. I want to bring him up. He's on the road having to go to the VA right now. Warren, he goes by Ren C. Boedeker, 89-year-old World War II Army Airborne Combat Veteran of a whole bunch of combat jumps. Ren, if you can hear me, you're speaking to several million people. What would you like to say about what's happening to you?
I can't believe it. I can't believe what they're doing. My wife and me built a home, bought the property, paid for it. We wanted this property to remain in the family, never to be sold for the rest of our lives and the rest of our posterity. And we both agreed we both wanted to be buried on the property. She died July 3rd of last year with cancer, and I buried her. Now they tell me I've got to dig her up and move her in 30 days' time.
That is cruel and very abusive. I'm just to interrupt to bring Stuart Rhodes up. Stuart, I mean, isn't this a lawsuit waiting to happen? I mean, this type of cruel behavior towards somebody?
Well, unfortunately, they've like the Nazis legalized everything they did. Apparently, this is now legal. They've made it legal. In fact, he was in the hospital last week being tested for prostate cancer. He's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And they had a hearing on this, and he was not able to attend. He, from his hospital bed, he faxed in a motion to continue, and the judge denied it. So there's no excuse for him not being there.
My God, who is so? Well, I'm going to go back to him. We obviously need to get on this judge with the public. In Montana, if you don't go stand up for this guy, you get what you deserve. The rest of America. I'm sick of watching them pick on old people. This is how I got started on air 17 years ago, as people remember those newscasts I did with them taking old people's land for 3-inch grass. With the health department claiming that it was a zone violation. So I started going to city council people's houses and showing they had taller grass and demanding that they get in trouble. and they backed off. Where are people standing up for old folks? Now, I'm going to go back to Ren here in just a minute. But, Stuart, tell us how you got in contact with him, and then you can ask him the question since you know him.
Well, I went down to a VFW hall to give an Oath Keeper presentation in Sanders County in Plains, where he lives. And the other veterans there told me about this. And then I got in contact direct with him. We're trying to find him a really good bankruptcy lawyer. I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer. I just don't know that system. And so we got to find somebody who's an ace bankruptcy lawyer who will go in there and fight.
My lawyer is Eric Tabb here in town, but he beats the city all the time and the feds, but I don't think he can practice in Montana.
Well, if he's admitted to federal bankruptcy court, I believe he can be admitted pro hac vice. So I think he could. So please put him in touch with me.
All right, I will. I'll call my lawyer. Let's go back to Ren. I mean, why don't you ask him some of the questions here, Stuart, since you know him?
Well, Ren, just give the people here a background. Like you said earlier, you planned on being buried there with your wife. You never intended to sell your property. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And why did you sign this stipulation? Did you feel? I mean, did they threaten you with prison and with taking everything away from you and leaving you penniless?
Yes, they said I could face federal prison under the Fraud Act, and that I could end up in prison if I didn't make some changes. I don't remember exactly how they worded it or anything else, but they had me sign a waiver on the bankruptcy that I went along with them not loan my bankruptcy. And I don't remember the details exactly how it was they put it to me to release my homestead, which I ended up signing off on my homestead so that they could pay the creditors.
Right. I do remember the details. The stipulation says that in exchange for them not doing it through an adversarial process, waiving your homestead or voiding your homestead and denying the discharge, that you agree to do those two things. You agree to waive your homestead and deny the discharge and sell your home. And so you really got nothing out of it, except they told you, well, if you don't do it this way, we'll eat up all of it with attorney's fees and costs, and in the end, you'll wind up penniless.
Let me ask Ren this. Ren, are they preying on other elderly folks in your area? Because I've seen a pattern nationwide of shaking down and getting people to sign documents they don't understand here in this sickening country we live in where they, you know, Time Magazine and Newsweek glorify euthanizing people like you. Do you know other veterans or folks in your area being preyed on?
No, I don't. Not as such. I've heard, as I've watched the different things on the computer, I've read different things like in Florida and other places where they're doing not the exact same thing, but they are taking homes away from the veterans and putting them out in the street. I don't know. What's going on is terrible, you know, all over the United States.
How long do you have till they make you exhume your wife and move off your property?
They have not sent me a notice in the mail, but at that hearing on the 12th that I couldn't be to, they said I had to move her off in 30 days' time.
So you're in the hospital, and you sent that into the judge. Who is this judge? Do we know, Stuart, who this judge is?
Yes, his last name is Kirshner. He's the federal judge for Montana for bankruptcy.
The doctor sent in an affidavit to the judge that it was impossible for me to leave the hospital. And I believe the way I heard it, the attorney for the veteran there in Fort Harrison also contacted the judge and told him I couldn't be there. The judge says it doesn't matter. It just went ahead with the trial without me there. I had this lady that's really been helping me, Roxanne Ryan, and I gave her power of attorney to act for me, and they wouldn't pay any attention to what she said. And they ended up giving the property, selling the property that's worth between $350,000, $400,000 for $155,000 to this party. They gave us till last night, actually it was Sunday night, to be out of my home with all my stuff. And at 3 o'clock yesterday, they were going to send the sheriff or a deputy and a locksmith to change the locks on my door so I could no longer get in.
Yeah, I should have added how immediate this is. You're going to the VA right now. You've pulled over just to this interview for treatment for cancer. I mean, this is out. This is insane. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart, but you told me off air. You told Du off air Is it true the sheriff refused yesterday to go throw him out and told the feds they can just do it themselves?
That's right. The sheriff of Sanders County, Tom Rummel, I met him down at Sheriff Mack's sheriff's conference, and he called the trustee yesterday and let her know that he believes that Wren, his due process rights were denied when he wasn't allowed to be at the, he couldn't be at the hearing, wasn't allowed to continue the hearing, and they went without him. So he said, I'm not going to give you a deputy to do a standby. So what they usually do is send a deputy along whenever they evict somebody. And he said, I'm not going to send a deputy. You'll have to do it on your own. Go find somebody else to be your muscle. So I think that's a really, you know, it's one silver lining in this horrible story. She did not show up. In fact, the bank, the locksmith did not show up. Neither did the buyer. No one showed up yesterday. They all stayed away. I think they're, you know, like cockroaches scurrying from the light. They don't want to confront us angry veterans. They don't want to confront the news media. We call the local media out there. They were on standby.
As you know, we sent reporters up to Georgia where that man who'd had chickens for decades in the edge of town, they were trying to take his house. And we found out the sheriff's department, the police, none of them were there. My intel is they had Army from Brigade Homeland dressed up to carry out the eviction, and that's what happened. And I've confirmed, Stuart, they have military dressed up all over the country now, helping carry out federal takeovers of property. Have you gotten any info on that?
No, not here in Montana. And there was nobody there, only the volunteers and us veterans who were there to help him get his stuff out.
Oh, that's why they didn't show up. No, I'm just saying around the country we've confirmed that they're trying to – I'm sure you saw the head of the Army 2 weeks ago in the CFR called for garrisoning regular troops in every city.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw that.
Just amazing times to be alive. Wren, as a – I mean, I'd like to get you on sometime just to talk about that rescue operation, but – you know, way back then in 1945, rescuing those thousands of people, could you ever have imagined that that they'd be trying to take your homestead?
No way. I was fighting for people to save their lives and for this country and the freedom and the Constitution. And it's been totally reversed on me.
Well, that's why we had laws against taking people's homestead because of these criminal carpetbaggers. I'm sorry, go ahead. But now we're a nation. We are a nation ruled by carpetbagging banksters. I'm sorry, go ahead, Stuart.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the founders put bankruptcy in place to help people who were in financial trouble, and now it's being turned into a weapon. And these banks are like a bunch of pirates, and these trustees are the same way. They get bailed out, but Wren gets no mercy. And what I wanted to ask Wren, if you had been captured by the Japanese, you know what they did to POWs. Let me ask, would you rather be captured by the Japanese and tortured and starved, or would you rather have happened to you what just happened to you just now, being forced to dig your wife's body up? Which one do you think is worse?
I missed part of what you said. I guess we're...
Let me ask you this. Oh, wait. Have you already had to dig your wife up, sir?
No, I have not yet.
He was asking you, would you rather have been captured by the Japanese when you saved those thousands of people, or would you, what's worse, being captured by the Japanese or having to dig your wife up?
Well, I would understand if I'd have been captured by the Japanese because we were in war. I would understood what I was facing. I do not understand what I'm facing here with my home paid for and built by my wife and myself. I was kicked out and had to get everything and lost almost everything I had.
Well, see, here's the big lie. They hound you and push you to pay off medical bills, I was told, is what a lot of it is. Well, you can't, I mean, medical bills are not supposed to hound you for those to begin with. And, you know, here you are, people locally make a business all over the country out of taking old folks' homes. I've seen it myself. And then you get manipulated into this. And now because you had some silver coins set aside as your emergency backup, and you live in a modest home, a modest piece of property, they're trying now, threatening you with prison to induce you to waive your rights to get the property. I mean, if that isn't racketeering right there from just what I've seen, I don't know what is, Stuart Rhodes.
Well, I think it is. I think it's like I said, it's elder abuse. It's a systematic pressuring. I mean, this is not justice. A government lawyer under the ethics rules for lawyers, their first obligation is to do justice. If he did something that he should not have done, if he should have disclosed assets, fine. Then don't give him the bankruptcy. Have him pay his creditors out of that money, out of those coins. That is justice. To go from that and go forward and then take his home, take his land, force him to dig up his wife's body so he can be buried next to her someplace else, that is not justice. That's brutality.
Let me ask you this question. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
How many coins did you have, Ren? I don't think you can hear me. Ren, can you hear me? We'll call him back. He's out there in the middle of nowhere in Montana. We'll call him back. Stuart, do you know how many coins there were? Because like you said, they should have just said, use these to pay off creditors.
I think he had a pretty good stack. He had I believe it was like 600 coins, 600 ounces. So he had a pretty good, I'm not sure though. But one thing about it is the person that was helping him store the coins, I believe it turns out that he also went to the court and says, I know where his coins are, and I'm pretty sure it's his girlfriend or fiance that's winding up buying the property. So basically they're selling it to the informant. That's what's happening here.
You're kidding.
No, serious.
Oh my God. Well, what is that? I mean, that is this country is just.
And Ren asserts that this man also stole, I believe, about 60 ounces of silver from him. So I don't think of the exact figure from Ren, but he thinks the guy, you know, he came back lighter than what he gave him. So,
oh my gosh. So he's a trusting old veteran. And man, who are these people that prey on old people? And I'm sure you've seen all the Time Magazine and Newsweek's talking bad about old people and how they're, you know, need to be done away with. I mean, this country's run by a bunch of demonic, snaggletooth, snot-nosed yuppies. I'm telling you right now.
Well, they act like ghouls. That's what really upsets me is that this shouldn't be done to anybody, first of all, any elderly person. But to do this to a war hero like this, a guy who gave up everything to go fight for his country and saw good friends die, it's disgusting.
Well, the whole system is primed. It is primed for these ghouls to work it. We've got Ren back. His phone cut out. Ren, anything else you'd like to add, sir? Anything we can do for you? I mean, I know the veterans are trying to hang out there and, you know, be with you, but I mean, I guess they could come at any time. We need to give the name of the town. Is there anything anybody can do? Any ideas, Ren?
Well, we're totally kicked out of our home, and everything, almost everything, or a few items we did not get that was outside as of last night. The biggest thing that we all need to stand up for our freedom and for the Constitution of this country. If we don't stand up and start standing up now en masse, we'll all be treated like I have been treated in the last few months.
And the guy that reportedly ratted you out, and obviously you didn't even know what you were doing, you've said that on record to Stuart, didn't understand that, you thought you could keep that. It's his girlfriend getting the house?
No, he's no connection with the people that are getting the house at all. He's my former stepson.
No, Ren, the other guy, Richard, that was helping you with the silver, wasn't it his girlfriend that's buying the house?
Yes. Girlfriend or wife, I don't know which it is. He's told me they were married, but he's told that part, I believe, that he was single, that she's a single woman, so I don't know.
Yeah, Alex, what happened was his stepson first sent a letter to the bankruptcy court. That was the first, you know, the first person that ratted
him out. What a nice fellow.
Yeah. And then this other guy that was helping him with the silver, he also went to the court and said, I know where the silver is. And it's
Let me tell you, wow, as this country unravels, it's going to get bad. Can you imagine all the rats running around out there, Stuart?
Yeah, that's the problem. There's no more honor in this country and no more sense of justice. And people just do, I mean, not everybody, but that there's so many like this who just do whatever it takes to get something for themselves. And they act like pirates.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if you ratted somebody out, an old man, because you thought they were supposed to turn in some silver. I wouldn't do that. That's dirty. But to do it for yourself, those folks are buying so much bad luck with what they've done, they might as well be Judas Iscariot.
That's right. And Ren, how many ounces of silver do you believe this man stole from you?
How many ounces of silver?
He took?
I've had a total of 1,300 ounces stolen from me. I had a total of 2,600 ounces of silver. And one part of this last party that was supposed to have been a friend and that husband or whatever, the gal that's buying the property, they stole 360 ounces of silver while it was in their hands before it went to the court. And my stepson that was in the took care of my house when I took my wife to the clinic when she had the cancer. That was the first silver that was missing. It was in his car.
Unbelievable. I wonder where they got the money to buy the house. I tell you what. 1 minute break. We're going to come right back and finish up with both these gentlemen back in 60 seconds. This needs to be investigated right now. The stories at InfoWars.com.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, coming up, we're going to be breaking down Obama saying he is a dictator, basically. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Wars, legalizing illegals, Warren C. Boudicker goes by Ren, World War II war hero, rescued more than 2,000 people in the Los Banos raid. He's out in Montana, and this stuff's going on everywhere. And they're claiming because he kept some silver in a bankruptcy that they're taking his property, everything, because they got him to waive it with threats of jail time. Ren, just to be clear, you didn't understand that you couldn't keep that silver?
No, I didn't. And that silver and gold that we've collected over all those years, we never spent one dime for buying anything. When we needed a car, I let my teeth go, everything, because that was for our future when we got old age. The home was built for that. With no steps or anything, it was built strictly for our retirement and old age.
Yeah, I know there's been some federal rulings. You could calculate the value of that, of what you bought it in at the time, too, so it's probably a lot reduced. But point is, you didn't know. Stuart, where do we go from here? I would think that we need the local police, if they've got any honor. This is the feds doing this. They should dig into these other people, get warrants, look at deposits, silver sold. I would go around the local places, even in towns 100 miles away, and get records of the silver sold with warrants to see if they were indeed selling his silver. And then you could build a case backing up what he's saying. This was an organized deception the whole time, planning to get him into bankruptcy to do this. Again, I don't know all this, but that's what my gut hound dog tells me to look into. What do you say to that right there?
Well, there's two different strategies of attack on this. On the one hand, he needs a really good bankruptcy lawyer. We've got an appointment set with him to go see a psychologist who's going to do an assessment of his capacity to see whether he could understand what he was agreeing to. So we'll attack the stipulation and try to wipe that out, and then put him back where he was, back with his homestead. And then they can then try to go ahead and do an adversarial proceeding. We'll fight him all the way. But the other strategy, I mean, it'd be nice to have somebody look into the theft of his silver, but I think that's a second issue. So we need a two-pronged strategy there. And we also have had folks contact us, friends of mine through Oath Keepers, who were trying to raise the money to buy his house back. And so I really hope they're successful to reach people that have money and can do that. But I encourage folks to go. There's on our website is a link that can donate directly to his legal defense fund.
Yeah, that's all great. But, I mean, if we try to always buy people out of their trouble, it's a losing battle. It's important in this case to help him. I think bringing the people involved in this to justice if they've done something wrong, I think that's what's important.
Well, sure, if you can, but this is why I don't mess with the law much. It's such a corrupt system, and it's already so far gone. I mean, the court let this trustee hire herself as the lawyer for the trustee and for the estate, and said in its order allowing this that she's not biased, that she has no conflict of interest. This is ridiculous. And so the law in this country has deteriorated into being a weapon. And so I don't think there's, you know, in the big picture, I don't think anybody involved in this is going to be, you know, prosecuted for anything. But we can restore his homestead. I think that's possible.
You know, it was Montana with that weird Hardin stuff. A lot of weirdness going on up there. I know it's a lot of good people, but also has that weird old mining thing going on. In closing, Ren, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
Well, I was just thinking as you was talking there, you know, you and Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers, all of you that's taking a hand and helping me here, whether you realize it or not, you're making a combat jump into enemy territory just like I did.
No, we're not. Listen, we just know that if people are feeding on old folks, none of us are safe. So it's real simple.
I thank you for the time that you've spent with me and look forward to hearing more from you.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you. All right. There he goes. Stuart, we'll continue to watch this situation. Again, I don't know all the particulars of the case like you do. I've just seen this done so many other times with other people. So thank you for investigating. Oathkeepers.org is where people can find out more.
Yes, they can. They can go there to donate. And it's directly to Wren's legal defense fund.
No. He needs legal defense right now. Great job, Stuart. And I'll get a hold of my lawyer, too, and maybe get you guys on the phone. All right, we'll be right back. All right, thank you. Big news coming up.